much about...
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Yes, Commissioner.
I'm very sorry to disturb you, but this is very important. Now listen very carefully.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
An ordinary dinner party. The sort of occasion we all enjoy. The men are exchanging witty stories. And look at the women. Aren't they pretty? Look at the way they laugh. They're delightful.
What is going on?
The lady has foolishly attempted to join the conversation with a wild and dangerous opinion of her own.
This is honestly so stupid.
Like all women, she needs a husband to make her complete.
Delightful.
What's the... How come?
He's down on the phone. And now...
Why did we agree to do this?
Why did we agree to do anything?
I hate us.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 29th of November. Today is the birthday of a 117-year-old woman. Did you guys see her on the news yesterday?
Did not.
She's the oldest person in the world, I think. At least the oldest woman in the world. She's 117. She's the last person on Earth that we know of that it's verified who was born in the 19th century.
Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
She was born November 29th, 1899.
Wow.
And she's still alive.
I don't feel like that's good.
I don't want it.
I don't want to be that old.
I don't want to be it for myself.
No. She still lives in her own home, by the way.
Runs marathons.
Yep.
Well, as well. Doesn't say that.
A little shot of whiskey before bed.
She has become quite the popular
tourist. She hunts for her own food.
That'd be something.
Wow.
She has become quite the popular tourist attraction in her little village in Italy, where people just want to come and meet her and talk to her and find out what the secret is. She says that one secret, they always ask, what's the secret?
I know, that's the most stupid question anyone ever asks.
But don't you want to know her secret?
But there's no secret.
She's got one.
She does.
Listen, does wait
she,
for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
In this story she does?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, people always come, they have to come up with an answer because they get asked the question
right,
all the
which
time.
Which is a stupid question.
I'm with the monkey on this one. I think it is a pretty dumb question.
Yeah,
I think
till you hear what she said, right?
She eats raw eggs.
Wait, what?
She eats raw eggs. That's the secret.
That's her secret?
She has a raw egg every day. Yeah, that's what she attributes to it.
Stupid.
I don't think that's the answer. I think
you said, wait till you hear what she says.
Right.
And then she said something.
I think there's a lot of factors involved. Most of them are genetics.
Right.
And then a big, healthy dollop of just good luck. And I don't think a raw egg is...
Does good luck come in dollops?
It does.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not talking, I mean, not a barrel full of good luck. I'm saying just a dollop, just a little on the side.
Sure. A smidge.
So anyway, happy birthday, random lady whose name I did not bother to learn.
Oh.
What does it take for Bean to care about a person's name?
Next year.
Wouldn't you think if you're 118, the last
17.
Thing you, whatever.
Like it matters.
The last thing you want are random people coming to your house just to stare at you and probably cough and spread germs and, ugh, get out.
Yeah, I don't know if she's the type of, person who maybe enjoys visitors, enjoys the attention.
Trust
but
me,
I would
she
say,
hates it.
Because this has probably been her life since she turned 100. That's when people start wigging out over how old you are, is when you're 100. And so for 17 years, she's probably so tired of getting up and answering the door.
She's just yelling from her chair, come in.
Just let me lay on the couch. I'm watching Gilmore Girls. Leave me alone.
Aww.
So anyway, that was meant to just be an aside, by the way.
Oh, but that wasn't the thing?
Yeah, wasn't the thing.
Wait a second, sure.
Do we have time for the thing? Because
sure.
I think we broke a hair early today.
Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
This happened over the Thanksgiving weekend, and of course, we weren't here to comment on it, so I thought I saved it, and I thought if we had some time, we'd work it in, and I think you will love this very much. Ali, I'm sure you saw it. Kevin doesn't watch the news because he's a kid.
Right.
The interview on the Today Show in Australia with a guy who chased down a robber of his next-door neighbor's house. Did you see him?
Yeah.
He's pretty great, right?
He's fantastic. But the best part is the reporter let him talk and just do his thing.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Kevin, you know when they go out in the news and they interview an eyewitness to something, you just hit gold. You get hide your wife and hide your kids.
Sure.
You get ain't nobody got time for that.
Then it goes viral. Then they remix it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, that's what's going on with this man in Australia named Daniel McConnell. Let's see what he saw that morning.
What happened?
Oh, well, it's really quite funny. I was in bed sleeping at 2 o'clock this morning. My wife comes in and says, oh, the shop's been, someone ran into the shop. And I said, oh, what? So I jumped out of bed and all I had was my undies on. And I've walked out the front and I've seen the car smashed and I've seen the bloke walking back to the car. And so I've walked outside and I said, oh, what are you doing, mate? Like, you can't be leaving the scene.
What do you think so far, Kevin?
Love. He's in so much. He's like,
he's only wearing MeUndies.
Only wearing MeUndies. I says, what are you doing, mate? He's engaging here.
And he goes, don't be a hero, mate. And I said, I'm not trying to be a hero, but the police are coming. And he just decided he'd scoot up the road. And I just said, nah, it's not going on like that, mate. So I jumped in my car and I started chasing him up the road. And then he went down a side street and then the police were coming. And I flashed them and sent them off in the direction of him. But, mate, all I had was me jocks on. And I was chasing him up the street and I'm just like, mate, like,
because you told me that this is your mate's shop, yeah, and you didn't want him to get away.
Yeah, no, well, me mate's mum's had this shop for like 40 odd years, and look at it. Whoa.
It's a mess, isn't it?
Beyond a mess. Like, words can't explain how it is, mate. Like,
now, Daniel, you managed to put some pants on in the meantime.
Yeah, mate.
That's good to hear. Do you feel like a hero?
Not really. It's just something you've got to do for the community, mate. It's like you look after your mates and your mates will always look after you.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
How about that?
Love
There's
him.
Daniel McConnell. And by the way, if he doesn't start dating that adorable little news reporter who was obviously sweet on him, there's something wrong going on here, right?
Well, I think when he said, my wife woke me up.
Oh, and she might see this.
She might see the interview outside of her home.
Oh, that's too bad. That would have been a nice love connection, but...
He has real strong feelings on different people that he just wants to see together.
I do.
I'm not exactly sure why.
I'm a champion shipper.
How many times have you guys found yourselves outside in your underwear?
This week?
Like outside, away from the house.
Not once. I'm trying to remember if it's ever happened to me.
Why do I feel like you're adding in your head? I did one time.
What?
And it was weird. It was a situation where I was at somebody else's house and their dog got out.
Oh.
So I just thought, oh, well, you know, it's in the backyard, so I'll just go out and bring it back in.
Right.
And then I realized it wasn't in the backyard, so I went out and I just looked out the door in the front yard, and I saw it in the front yard, and I thought, oh, I better get it right away. And I was in MeUndies. And
mate.
Well, you gotta look after your mate and your mate's dog.
So then I called the dog and the dog just turned and ran. And I was like, oh no, the dog is getting away. This is terrible.
Yeah.
But he was only a couple of houses over.
Sure.
You know, I just started like that and then it just kept going. I was probably, I don't know, 8 blocks, 9 blocks away. It was at night, so I could sort of hide. But yeah, I was about 9 blocks away from the house I was in my underwear. And never found the dog.
No!
Never found it. Yeah, finally gave up, just depressed, walked back to the house, really bummed because I had to tell the owners that the dog was gone and the dog was in the house waiting.
He got back before you did.
Yep. Just sitting there going, what's up with you? Put on some pants. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah, that's my America.
Right? What's up with Florida on the program
what
today?
What is up with Florida, by the way?
Well, I hope you're going to tell us.
Okay.
Josh McDermott in studio. He plays Eugene on The Walking Dead. He's not going to answer any questions, but we're going to try.
I think a lot of people assume whoever comes on the show dies that next week.
They do assume that because that's happened once or twice.
Right.
But we've had people from The Walking Dead in probably 12, 13 times. So it's not always doesn't always work out that way.
Okay.
But the character Eugene... I mean, it's a miracle he's still alive in that world.
With that mullet, right?
Right? The mullet. He's just a dork.
Yeah.
He can't defend himself.
Right.
He's useless.
Sure.
So anyway, we're going to talk to him coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. There is a porn company called Wood Rocket, and Lee Roy Myers is the name of the guy behind it. He has produced the movie Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers.
Wow.
Along with a lot of others that we're going to talk about, which I love. We're going to talk about bad Christmas songs. This came up a little bit yesterday. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light Backstage Passes. So that's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. Unfortunately, in the 6 o'clock hour, you're going to have to hear us sing.
What
that's
going to
be the contest.
Us. You, maybe?
Us, meaning the group here.
Oh.
Meaning Bean.
No.
And Ralph.
No.
Nally.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, it's Kevin and Bean Aroki. That's what we're going to do in the 6 o'clock hour for those tickets. So.
No.
Sorry in advance. We apologize for that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Ralph Garman is here. First of all, good morning, Ralph.
Hi!
Second of all, you have to tell me, because I'm sure you know, and I don't, ahead of the Showbiz Beat. Sorry about your Eagles last night. What was in the tent? What's the tent all about?
What was in the tent?
It was where John Gruden would take Aaron Rodgers to fillet him.
Well, we only saw Aaron Rodgers going into the tent on Monday Night Football. We didn't see Coach Gruden going in after him.
Coach would come out of the broadcast booth in between quarters and just take care of Aaron Rodgers.
Holy crap.
Have you ever heard such a ball wash in your life?
He liked him.
He was a fan.
Yeah.
He's better than John Wayne, he said at one point during the game.
This is a weird season to be piling on those accolades to Aaron Rodgers. Too,
right, exactly.
Well, you know, he's playing well. I mean, the team has a losing record, but Rodgers still has been playing well, and I get that. But
I hate him as an announcer. He's terrible.
He's not good.
Yeah.
But John Wayne?
Besides, it was a never-ending love fest that got to the point of comedy. Where he literally said, he's better than John Wayne, in my opinion. I mean, and what, as an actor, as a gunfighter, what exactly how are you comparing these two?
That's true. It is kind of apples and oranges.
Madness.
So for folks who didn't see it, the tent was set up on the sidelines, and at one point Aaron Rodgers went in, like you see the refs go in to, you know, review a call or something like that, and it was a mystery as to what it was.
I think it's a poopy tent.
Yeah.
I do, too. That's what made the most sense to me. Is
that right?
Yeah, because you don't want to have to run all the way into the locker room. If the quarterback, you never know when you're going to be back on the field.
Yeah, so true.
The weird part for me was he had to take one of the assistant equipment managers in with him. Because you need help. You got to get the stuff done and the pads and the buckles and the...
That's a terrible job.
It's awful. You don't want to be that guy on the team, right?
We're going in.
Oh, I wanted to be in sports.
Okay, but if that's what it was, and that certainly makes the most sense to me, too, then why isn't there essentially a porta-potty like that on every sideline of every game?
Because
you think they would always use one.
Most full players are men. It can hold their mud.
But not Aaron Rodgers,
apparently. And that's why his family hates him, and they're right.
He's better than John Wayne.
He's the worst.
Okay.
And I wish him nothing but ill will
for
the remainder of the season.
5:57 Tuesday morning.
Double discount, double cross. Bite me.
Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What else is going on?
Hey, yesterday I talked to you about the best-selling Christmas songs, according to the Billboard 100. Well, today we have the list of the most downloaded Christmas songs so far this year. So it's sales versus, I guess, hard copies, singles and albums versus downloadable music in this particular list. And later on the show, we will be discussing the worst Christmas songs in the world, like Mary, Don't You Know.
So more Christmas Shoes.
Mary, Did You Know? Mary, Don't You Know Me? Whatever it's called. It's awful.
In parentheses, Cool Jesus.
Right, Cool Jesus. So these are the most downloaded ones. And it's a considerably different list.
We wish.
Right?
This is number one, right?
Should be in the top ten, for God's sake.
It's not in the top ten.
Not in the top ten.
Yeah. So you guys want to take a crack? You want to take a shot? You want to...
I'm still going with Mariah.
Well, it's still number one, Allie.
Yeah.
It's a good choice. Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, is apparently the most popular Christmas song in the world. It's number one on downloads. It's number one in sales. It's number one on airplay, in terms of cycling through on your Christmas radio dials.
Okay,
it's nuts. It's the most popular Christmas song in the world.
Justifiable too.
It's a good, it's really good Christmas song.
It's
when you hear it, you're like, oh, and you turn it up, and that's Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, fair enough.
I know a bunch of these. Do you want me to weigh in? Well, this is my area.
Yes, because I don't.
This is my area. Two of the stupid Trans-Siberian Orchestra songs are in that top ten. I know
Monster hits. And by the way,
hate them.
TSO crushes. What's wrong with you?
Never like
that.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, the best.
So much,
I say
sir.
No, sir.
And if you sit on your couch and you have speakers on
right?
both sides of the
you
room,
crank it.
You can hear the sled. It goes right past your head. It's phenomenal.
Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Their big hit, right?
And Christmas Cannon, also number six on the list. Love me some Trans SB.
Hate them so much. I know the Jingle Bell Rock and the Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, I think those are still big downloads, right?
Well, you're half right. Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh, that one made it?
Okay. Downloaded, yeah.
Justin Bieber, Mistletoe?
Yes. Justin Bieber's Mistletoe is fourth on the list.
Last Christmas?
The list is BS. Last Christmas by Wham is 10th on the list.
These are all songs we yeah. certainly hear a lot.
That Mistletoe song's awful. Now, this doesn't really count as a Christmas song in my opinion, but it's number two for most downloaded. Do You Want to Build a Snowman from Frozen?
Oh.
Huh.
Not really a Christmas song.
Wintry topic, I
yeah,
guess.
Not a Christmas song.
Christmas time.
Not agreed. A Christmas song.
Okay. Agreed.
Ralph,
I don't think so either.
There is there's a whole category of songs like that
yes,
that are about
it's all
winter.
BS.
Like, so would you say Winter Wonderland is not a Christmas song?
Not a Christmas song.
Because it doesn't have to do with Santa or Jesus.
Great.
But it's still
so
considered
play it in November. Have a good time. Play in January, February, whenever you want. It's winter.
But
it's
I
not
think
Christmas.
People think of it as a
yeah,
Christmas.
Yeah, that's used as a Christmas song.
Oh, people do, yeah. do they? Oh, imagine that people being wrong.
and I think it's the same thing with Frozen. Is they go, well, it's
no.
about a snowman, so that's
so
the
it's not
time
a Christmas
of year
song. It's like when they play the Charlie Brown theme. And now coming up, here's Vince Vivaldi. Not a Christmas song.
I like when the Eagles lose.
It's great, isn't it?
It's pretty fun.
Do You Want to Be a Snowman? I love Do You Want to Be a Snowman. Great, great movie, great score. Not a Christmas song.
Okay.
Not a Christmas tree in that whole goddamn movie. No Jesus either, by the way. Not a present to be had.
Not even cool Jesus?
Not cool Jesus, neither.
All right, what did we miss? What else is on that list?
Oh, this one. Faith Hill, Where Are You Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
I didn't know that one.
Oh,
it's from the How the Grinch Stole Christmas movie.
Oh, it bites.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, it's the worst.
Okay.
Are you Christmas? Nice. Where can I find you?
That's
not
the
in the
one
Frozen
that,
movie, Faith Hill.
That's the one that little Cindy Lou Who sings in the movie.
Okay.
Remember? In the Grinch movie. And then Faith sings it at the end.
Feliz Navidad.
Of course.
By Jose Feliciano.
Yeah.
So there's your big list. So please enjoy. Except for that freaking Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Not a Christmas song.
But you love it, though, right?
I do love the song.
Okay.
Just doesn't have no business being on this list. Let's put fun by the Beach Boys, too, because Christmas is fun. Christmas is fun, and they're having fun, so let's make that a Christmas song, too.
And everything by the band Fun.
Right.
As well.
Fun. Today's celebrity birthdays, Seattle quarterback Russell Wilson, who never had to go in the tent, by the way, just clenches those cheeks.
Yeah.
He's fine. 28 years old today. Rapper The Game is 37. Actor Chadwick Boseman, you know him as the Black Panther. Rah! He's 40 years old today. Actress Anna Faris turns 40 as well. Jonathan Knight from NKOBSSB.
NKOTB.
Yeah, New Kids on the Block.
Is he your favorite, Ellie?
No, I'm a Joey girl.
Right.
Thank
sure.
you for asking.
Sure, it's all about the Joey.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle's 52. Tom Sizemore is 55. He's still alive.
That's wow, no kidding.
Howie Mandel, game show host Howie Mandel. Bald guy Howie Mandel.
Germaphobe.
Fist bumper.
Yeah.
Howie Mandel. Vin Scully. Former Los Angeles Dodgers announcer Vin Scully. Sounds
wow.
weird to say former, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yeah. Not many people in history have been able to say that.
Yep.
He's 89 years old today. And one of the great statesmen, international politicians, my personal favorite, former president of France, Jacques Chirac.
Oh.
Jacques Chirac celebrates his 84th birthday today.
You like him?
We'll be playing a little special audio from the Kevin and Bean Show featuring the president
that
a little bit later.
That won't be happening, because it never did.
But what the... But that
never happened.
But there was that one time.
No, it didn't happen.
I thought I remembered a time.
Right. You were told that it did
Wasn't
not happen.
Wasn't there a time?
Didn't happen.
Hmm.
Didn't happen.
I gotta check the record books.
Didn't happen.
Someone get out the record books.
We don't have record books.
We don't?
No.
Well, how am I supposed to find my answer?
I have my finger on a button right now. I'm debating whether to hit it or not, Ralph.
You can't hit something that didn't happen.
Really? Because I'm looking at an audio file that suggests that there is evidence that it did.
6:04. Let's err on the side of caution. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin and Bean Aroki.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Yes, Vin. Yes,
sorry, Vin.
Doing it. We're giving away tickets to which night is up for grabs this hour?
This would be night number two.
Night number two to go see Green Day and Back and Weezer, Bastille, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, Fanagram, Bishop Briggs, and The Head and the Heart. You can win tickets plus Bud Light backstage passes. You must be 21 and up this hour, but you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to endure the magic that is Kevin and Bean Aroki, we'll give you a chance to win those tickets. All right. First, though, how about this? What's
you
up?
You got the people to throw.
See, I feel like.
Really?
I didn't know you were going to say, what's up? You said, how about this?
What's up with Florida?
Yeah, but you said, how about this?
It sounded like an invitation.
So then I thought, okay, hit it.
All right, take two. How about this?
What's up with Florida? What's up, Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
America's Penis back in the news for so many reasons. A special holiday edition of What's Up with Florida. A couple of great Christmas-related stories. And what's my biggest complaint, you guys, whenever we do What's Up with Florida, when I read these tales?
Not enough information.
Not enough information, yes. Never more so than in this one. Alex Fultz, he is 20. He's from South Florida. He was arrested on attempted felony murder. According to the police report, the man's father was asleep on the sofa in the bedroom when Fultz, armed with a knife, entered and stabbed his father in the neck. The victim was flown to Jackson South Community Hospital to be treated for a stab wound. Police said the officers later spotted Mr. Fultz, the stabber, walking toward them, both of his hands raised in the air. Don't shoot, he said. I'm the one who stabbed my dad. All right, here's where it gets curious.
All right.
He told police he was angry at his father because his dad wanted to cut the foreskin on his penis.
On the son's or on his own?
On the son's.
Okay.
He said, this kid's 20, all right? His dad says, you need to be circumcised.
Why did that just now come up?
I don't know. That's question number one. The son said, I'm scared. It's going to hurt. I don't want to do that. The father said he did not listen to him and would not take him to a doctor, would not take him to a urologist, it says in the article, which leads me to believe that the father wanted to circumcise his own adult son.
Oh. Why?
And wasn't taking no for an answer.
Why?
So Fultz stabbed him because he was angry, is what he told the police. So he admitted to doing it, but he said, look, I got a reasonable reason for why I did this, because my dad wanted to chop up part of my penis with a knife.
Dismissed. Like, he wins.
Look, don't stab your dad, but also, dad, don't try to circumcise your adult child, right?
Well, he's 20. He's a 20-year-old man.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh.
I definitely need more information, and I would keep my eyes peeled.
I do not.
Sanford, Florida in the news. A mall Santa there has to say his ho-ho-hos elsewhere after telling two children that sat in his lap that Hillary Clinton was on the naughty list. Now, just for people who are,
for youngsters
who are listening, there is, of course, a real Santa.
Right.
But sometimes shopping malls will hire somebody to pretend to be Santa, too. Mm-hmm. Not the one that you go to. That's a real one. Last week, an actor playing Santa Claus at Seminole Town Center angered a parent for telling an ill-timed political joke to two children. Do you know who's on the naughty list? Hillary Clinton.
Is that the time to do your political chunk?
I don't think so.
I mean, come on.
And I feel like it's lost on the little kids
right.
that are there to tell you what they want for Christmas, right? The children's mom complained to mall management and posted it on Facebook where the store went viral. Now the Santa has been reassigned to a new mall and has been given additional training. So he has not been fired.
They hired.
Why
it's just like the church.
Is this the Catholic
just
church?
Like
right?
the church.
Running this? What's going on?
Action News in Jacksonville reported on last Thursday, a man came into the Jacksonville Toyota dealership claiming to be Satan sent by Jesus. That's what he told them. They thought that there's something was a little bit off with the man. He also said he had a gun, and he began making threats. If he was not given a car, he was going to start shooting people. Dealership staff immediately called 911, waited for police to arrive. When they arrived, they discovered the man was, in fact, not armed, and they took him into custody to be mentally evaluated. But that's a bad day at the car dealership when Satan sent by Jesus comes in and demands a new car, right?
I don't know a lot about the Bible, but does Jesus send Satan to do things?
Like in Deuteronomy, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was very confused by that as well.
Interesting.
Too. Here's a lady named Alana Annette Savelle, 32 years old. I can totally respect her. I don't vouch for a lot of people in this What's Up with Florida segment, but her I like because she brought out a gun and started shooting at her house guests because they overstayed their welcome. I completely support her.
She's yes, being
she
soulmate.
Is.
Wow.
She had armed herself with a handgun, and she started shooting at their feet from the doorway of the home. Apparently, her policy was, once she tells you to get out of her house three times, then she starts shooting at the ground around your feet, and then if you still don't leave, she shoots you in the leg.
I mean, technically, she probably only has to do that once.
I would think so.
And everybody gets the idea.
I would say as word spreads, you understand that that's the end of Alana's rope,
right?
But it's time to leave. She has been booked into jail, by the way, for shooting two people at her party at
wow.
the lake. And I want to know if...
I'm at a party at her house.
Like, what's going on that you're asked to leave three times and still don't and you start getting shot at? Like, what was happening at that party that was so awesome? Right?
A lot of alcohol would be my guess.
And finally, some locals have taken to social media to react to a float scene in the Christmas holiday parade this past weekend. Oh, we're back in Jacksonville again. The backlash came after a local dance studio, Studio 360 Pole Fitness Dance and Gym, had decorated a float with poles for pole dancing. This is in the Hollywood Christmas parade, I mean the Christmas holiday parade, rather, in Florida. Pole dancing, not what you may expect to see that time of year. Dusty Maxwell, a local youth pastor, said he was thrown off guard and shocked when he saw the float. As it got closer and I realized what it was and I saw a lady performing on a pole in a provocative way, I had to turn the heads of my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old to keep them from seeing it.
That Christmas parade has everything.
A family-oriented parade is not something that parents should have to worry about their children being exposed to what they were doing on that float. By the way, if you're a little girl growing up in Jacksonville, isn't there a 50-50 chance you're going to end up on the pole anyway? I mean, seriously. America's going to get offended by everything, said Brianna Owens,
right?
The head instructor and studio manager. We accomplished our goal. It took a lot of guts for those dancers to get out there on Saturday and shake their stuff. Pole dancing isn't the only thing taught at Studio 360. We also teach fitness and yoga, although we are predominantly a pole dancing studio. So she's defending the girls out there on the pole.
And I'm with her.
Yeah, I'm with her too, by the way. Right? USA. USA. This has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida. Florida. Florida. What's up with Florida?
All right, this is going to be painful. It's going to be painful. I'm just giving people a heads up.
La, la, la.
Hey, speak for yourself, man. I got this. All right, talking about the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, we got tickets right now for Sunday night, December 11th at the Forum, plus Bud Light backstage passes as well. Green Day, Beck, Weezer, Bastille, Andrew McMahon, in the wilderness, by the way.
Oh, get him out. Save him.
Fanagram, Bishop Briggs, and The Head and the Heart are all performing, and we are going to be singing those songs, asking you to identify them by title and artist with a game that we like to call Kevin and Bean Aroki.
If you want tickets to a show and if you really want to go see a band, you're a fan, put your hands, because now it's time to play Kevin and Bean Aroki, Kevin and Bean Aroki. It's everybody from the crew, they're going to sing a song for you, so listen up to get it right, you're going to sing with all their might. It's time to play Kevin and Bean Aroki, Kevin and Bean Aroki.
Ah, yes.
Was that a beer mug intro, by the
way? It was.
Really?
Okay. That was great.
Remember when he used to be here in Digger?
I do.
How dare you?
I'm going to miss that guy.
Still here, guys. Right here. Right here.
It's almost like I can hear his ghost in my ear.
Right?
I haven't left.
Crazy.
Still hear him in my head.
Right next to you.
All right, Kevin. Who's our first contestant to try to identify one of these songs that we're going to be singing?
That would be Lorena in Rialto. Hi, Lorena.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. I apologize in advance for what you're about to hear, unless it's Ralph. What happened to the wheel?
Nice work, Kevin.
Hold. Hold. That was
is it janky?
That was a faulty spin.
Why
hold
are
on.
You bad?
Hold on.
There we go.
All right. Good wood.
Good wood indeed.
What?
What the hell?
Beer mug.
All right.
He wasn't dead. Lorena, you get beer mug. He's going to sing part of a song. You have to tell us the artist and the title of the song.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, Lorena, here we go.
There's a destination a little up the road from the habitations in the towns we know.
a place we saw the lights turned low, jigsaw jazz and the get fresh flow.
I don't feel like he put much effort into that.
Well, he's dead.
That's true. He is dead. For a ghost, it wasn't
for being
bad.
Dead, not bad. Loretta, title and artist, please. If you don't know, please guess.
No other person next to Lorena.
He cannot sing
he
it
cannot
again.
Sing it again.
For safety reasons.
You're going to have okay. to give us a guess. Thank you for playing.
Or not.
That was being an asshole. Jet fresh flow. Okay.
Oh, I'm canny.
You know, when he gets to that point.
It's back where it's at.
We were looking for that.
That was 25 seconds in.
Next contestant is Matt in La Mirada. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
And you get me, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Matt. Are you ready?
I hope so.
I'm going to rip this.
So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hang it on the shelf of good health and good times. Tattoos of memories and dead skin on trial.
Okay.
For what it's worth, it was worth all the while.
Apparently we're whispering today, Matt. What was that song?
Wow.
That
right. Right. Please. Come on now.
That was Good Riddance Green Day.
Yes, it was.
How did you recognize that?
And still friends and
wow. How did you recognize it? It was perfect.
It wasn't married to the melody.
There weren't any of the same notes used in either version.
I'm sorry, Bill.
Matt got it.
Yeah, he did.
That's all I'm saying.
Credit.
Let's go to Chris in San Pedro. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
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 Doing Kevin and Bean Rookie.
Kevin and Bean Rookie.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
You get Ralph.
Oh. All right,
this is
Chris,
always cheating,
you and me, buddy.
This is always cheating with Ralph because he can sing.
All righty. Let's go.
All right, here we go.
How do we fall in love? Harder than a bullet could hit you. How do we fall apart? Faster than a hairpin trigger.
It's Fantagram.
Wow.
Sorry, it's Bishop Briggs River.
Yeah. How do we fall in love?
All right, not all right. So much.
So, we Ralph, do? Somebody got mine, but not yours?
Yeah, because mine was all off.
User error. Yeah. We are, once again, if you're just joining us, playing for tickets for night number 2 of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, plus Bud Light Backstage Passes. Who's our next contestant, please?
Next up is Adrian in Santa Ana. Hi, Adrian.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. You get Allie.
Oh,
thanks.
Hi, Adrian.
Don't say thanks yet.
Why am I following Ralph? Okay. Every minute and every hour, I miss you, I miss you, I miss you more. Every stumble and each misfire, I miss you, I miss you, I miss you more.
Allie Michaelis.
Yeah.
I like that better than the original.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well.
That's the Muppet version.
But still.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
Is it Good Grief?
Man, I got to tell you, I didn't think he was going to get that, but he did. Congratulations.
Very impressive.
Let's move on to Al in Riverside. Hi, Al.
Good morning, guys.
Let's see who's going to sing your song. Oh, you get Bean.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Sorry, Al.
What have I done to you? All I'm trying to do is help you win tickets to the show.
Sorry, Dean. Sorry.
All right.
Here we go.
I can't help my feelings. I'll go out of my mind. These players come to me because they like my behind. I can't love my business if I can't get a treat. Down on Santa Monica, where drinks are for kids.
What?
What?
What? What happened at the end? Al?
That is a Weezer song.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes, the title of which is?
I'm going to say Hash Pipe.
Yes. Nailed it.
Oh, Fiend.
Nailed it.
All right, do we cut our losses or do we do one more?
One more.
No.
All right. All right. Let's go to John in Fullerton. Hi, John.
What's going on, guys?
I'll tell you what.
Kevin and Bean are rookie!
And you get Dave the King of Mexico.
Dave, yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, I'm going to channel my inner Dr. Drew here. All right.
Okay.
I've cafe crawled through Amsterdam, been around the world with a punk rock band, and I've seen London and I've played Japan. I've been knocked down, got up again.
We should have stopped. We had our chance.
I feel like the rest of us all understood that we're trying to let them win.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That was perfect.
Kind of
that was
little,
a little different
our little
version.
Comedy segments.
All right, John.
I was good at the older bands. I'm just going to guess. The Head of the Heart.
Sorry, John.
That was Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. Sorry about that.
Don't worry.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry,
right,
Dave's a dick.
If right. I remember correctly, we have three in the drawing, right? It's going to be Matt, Adrian, or Al. One will win tickets and Bud Light backstage passes for night number two of the K-Rock Almost Goose to Christmas to see all those great bands. Miss Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Al.
Al!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yes!
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations,
right,
Al.
Thank you so much.
We will see you a week from Sunday night. Have a great time, and thanks for playing the game.
Give it and be no rookie!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Walking Dead fans, Eugene and his mullet on the show later on this morning. Actor Josh McDermott is going to be joining us in studio. And Ralph, we're talking to a friend of yours, Leroy Myers, next hour as well.
Not my friend, but he's my favorite porn director by far. He's an auteur, you know.
Sure is.
He creates genius porn parodies, and that is really the lost art, I think, of the porn industry.
I do worry with the, and we'll talk to Leroy about this, I do worry with the, you know, with all the free porn out there, if maybe jobs like his are becoming fewer and fewer, where people are actually putting some time and some thought into the scripts and everything else that he does, you know?
Well, actually, Bean, the reason he is succeeding is because in a world of free porn clips where people can take care of their needs on their phone at a whim with all these clearinghouses that they have online.
Mm-hmm. Do it on your phone?
Well, if you need to, if you're someplace and you just want to see porn, you can watch it on your phone now.
Oh, I see.
It used to be in the old days, you'd have to put on a DVD or something like that.
Gotcha.
In order to keep people interested in a full-length feature film, you need to get creative. You have to do something funny or interesting, or in the case of these porn parodies, something people can get a kick out of. So,
well, Leroy is one of the best in the business, I'm told. So we'll talk to him coming up. First, though, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Who told you that?
I think it was you.
Oh, okay. Just thought so. Pokemon Go is still a thing. Did you know that?
I thought Pokemon went. Because it's not a,
keep going.
It's not
just
a thing
keep,
any,
just
anymore.
Just keep going.
Just Tuesday.
Stay on target.
It's only Tuesday.
Stay on target.
I don't hate it.
Pokemon Go is having a December update, which will include, wait for it, 100 new characters for players to catch.
Wow. 100 new ones.
Yeah.
So Dave will no longer be working on the show, it sounds like.
He'll be trying to catch
them all.
Checked
out till the end of the year.
Yeah. Just stop it.
It's good advice.
Right?
That should do it.
I think so. There we go. Clouds are scary.
Clouds are scary.
Clowns.
Oh, clowns.
Are scary.
Terrifying clouds.
Oh, imagine when they go through the air like that. How do they stay up there? They just float. It's terrifying.
I don't like it.
Further proof that they are indeed terrifying, Madonna is doing a one-off concert next week in Miami where she will sing her greatest hits while dressed as a clown.
Really?
Would I make that up?
No.
No, I would not.
Why?
She is raising money for Madonna's Raising Malawi charity for African orphans.
Does she not want to raise any money for that?
Oh, she does, Kevin, because guess how much tickets are a piece to attend this one once-in-a-lifetime Madonna dressed as a clown concert?
I can't imagine.
$500?
I can't
imagine. Add a zero.
$5,000?
Wow.
$5,000.
Chew on that, you clown.
Now, that's the base. That's the low-level ticket.
Okay.
If you want to upgrade your experience a bit, you can go for the VIP experience.
Oh, you mean it goes higher from there?
Oh, sure.
Oh.
You get to have a VIP dinner.
Okay.
And you get to meet Madonna.
Okay.
For the low price of $150,000.
I mean...
Well, dinner is included. I mean,
will she be dressed as a clown during dinner, though? That influences my decision.
You have to dress as a clown if you're going to eat with her.
What if I? Can I just wear the top half? Can I just be a clown and the bottom half pantless? What are my options?
Forgive me if this is obvious.
I try every day to forgive you.
If this is obvious to the rest of y'all, but why a clown? What's the tie-in between her Malawi girls' school and a clown? I don't get it. Do we know?
Yeah.
That was a serious question. Is there a reason given?
Why do you think we have an answer for that?
I thought it might be somewhere in the article, or maybe you guys would briefly mention it, and I just missed it. It doesn't say, in other words.
In our pre-show biz meeting.
To the best of our knowledge, Bean, there is no real connection between her decision to dress as a clown and her charity for African orphans. No.
Well, hey, Bean, there are times when I'm not paying attention to what's being said, but then I don't inject myself and ask a question.
You just shut up sometimes?
I thought I might have missed
Maybe
it.
No one will know if I'm not paying attention if I don't ask a stupid question.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So there are options, you're saying. There are options for your behavior.
Right.
Hey, Friday night, guess what's going to happen again at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose? That's right.
Nothing
you
good.
You guessed it.
Ralph dressing like a clown.
Hollywood Babylon with me as a clown. Only $5,000 a ticket. No, I will be dressed. Well, I am a clown, but I will just be dressed as myself. Kevin Smith and I will take the stage Friday night at 10 p.m. once again at the Improv on Melrose. We're going to have a good time with Hollywood Babylon. This week, amongst many things, we'll be talking in-depth with Kevin about his Buckaroo Banzai TV series, which is no longer going to happen, and we'll talk about why and that kind of stuff. So
I'm not a fan of it. I didn't ask for it.
You'd like it if you came, lady, I bet.
And that's no way to live.
Well, you can go to improv.com and get your tickets and decide for yourself. Don't let those naysayers sway you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson is 28 years old today. Rapper The Game turns 37. Chadwick Boseman, very talented actor.
Black Panther. Was he also the same guy who was Jackie Robinson in 42?
He was.
And James Brown in that movie, too?
And once again.
Wow, he's really something else.
He's 40 years old today. Anna Faris is also 40. Jonathan Knight of Your New Kids, he is 48. Don Cheadle's 52. Tom Sizemore, the actor who has got a lot of problems, is 55. Howie Mandel, you know him as one of the judges on America's Next Greatest Talent Top Voice.
Yep.
Search.
Nailed it.
He's 61. Vin Scully of your Los Angeles Dodgers is 89 years old. How you doing, Vin? You doing okay? Really?
Oh, my gosh. No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. He's not doing so well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're being a little oblique, Ralph. You like it or you don't like
it? Opposed to the other guy. Because it's awful and it makes me insane.
It's great.
Oh, my God. You are the worst.
I'm not the worst. You're wrong.
Here's what I think happens. I think Bean hears Ralph's point of view
and
then just takes the opposite side.
It's untrue.
That may be the formula.
Let me reset.
To our successful marriage.
Let me reset for folks who have no idea what we're talking about here. Is Ralph came in yesterday all fired up. We were talking about the most popular Christmas songs. There are a couple of charts that have come out lately, and it's been an interesting discussion. And he pointed out a song that he hates. For some crazy, unbeknownst reason that I cannot figure out, because it's a wonderful, beautiful song that's been around for like 25 years. It's been recorded by everybody from CeeLo Green to Mary J. Blige to the great Clay Aiken, by the way.
Well, there you go. Enough said.
Called Mary, Did You Know? And I know a lot of our listeners know and love that song. But, Ralph, before we play some of it, what's your biggest problem with it?
It's ludicrous.
No, he has not recorded it at all. Pentatonics may be the version you're thinking of, but not
Ludacris. Ludacris is an artist, Ralph.
It's an imaginary conversation between the singer and the Virgin Mary talking about, hey, Mary, did you have any idea your kid was going to grow up to be so cool and cure those blind dudes and turn that water into wine? Did you have any idea how awesome your kid was going to be? So the premise is the singer's having a conversation with Mary talking about, hey, looking back over the life of your kid Jesus, could you imagine when you first had him in that manger that he was going to be such a wild success?
All right, Bean,
you think he was going to grow up to be such a huge guy? It's insane.
Is Ralph right so far?
Is that the premise of the song?
Right.
The premise of the song is the singer is singing to the Virgin Mary.
Okay.
Yes. But what's happening here is that the story of the baby Jesus, and by the way, let's not forget he's the reason for the season, is the greatest story ever told. And when you think about the the magnitude of being the person who gives birth to the savior.
Right.
I think that would be tough for any woman to get her head around.
Right. And if she was around to talk to, this would make
right.
sense.
If this wasn't a made-up conversation, if this wasn't some sort of musical People magazine article where they go back and talk to the mother of the star to see what was it like when he was a kid. Did you see any inklings that maybe he's going to grow up to be such a superstar? What the serious F? Is
all
the
right,
point.
So, Kevin, you've not heard the song at all.
I haven't.
Right?
I don't think I have either.
You
I
must
either.
Have heard this.
I mean, maybe I have.
You, if you heard it, it would never. You would never stop. Your ears would smell it forever.
All right. Which version do we have? What are we playing?
I have big ears, so there's a lot of smelling.
Are we doing pentatonics here?
I don't know.
We don't know. Does it matter? Can I just play the
just
song?
Crap. Whoever does it, it's crap.
Let's hear a little bit of Mary, Did You Know, Ralph's favorite Christmas.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
So far, I'm with Ralph.
Thank you.
So
it's
far,
total
this is terrible.
BS.
It's cool. It's cool, Jesus.
Mary, did you know he'd be so cool he could walk on water? Did you know he would turn down a date with my daughter?
Look, I know pentatonics.
She's all holy and doesn't date much.
But these lyrics are very touching, I think.
You're touched in the head is where you're touched.
All right, let's hear a little more. Then I want to hear what Allie thinks.
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Twist.
The child
you delivered him, he's gonna deliver you. Boom! Drop
evil.
The pentatonics mic.
Me, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know?
No.
You kiss the face of God.
Yeah, you kiss the face of God, yo.
What do you think, Allie?
It's not for me.
It's not for anyone.
I feel like all my years of Catholic school allows me to say that.
Thank you.
That is not great.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the question.
It's the most treacly ridiculous concept of, now let's interview the mother of the of Jesus, Mary. Mary, did you know? Back then, that you would be kissing the face of God when you kissed your
like
child.
Smells like donkey ass.
Here's a quick answer. No, she did
I'm gonna
not
put
know.
You down. I'm going to put you down as a yes on Mary, Did You Know? But let's talk about the phone topic here, because we're asking you for the song that the Christmas song that drives you crazy the way this one mistakenly drives Ralph crazy. That's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. Is this your least favorite Christmas song, would you say, of popular ones that you hear on the radio?
It's not my least favorite.
It's top three.
Top three. Okay.
It's the top three one that's not being sung by a child or a chipmunk.
That's mine.
What's yours, Kevin?
Mine is...
How
dare you?
The chipmunk.
It's time for joy and time for cheer.
I know the song. I know the lyrics. But the chipmunks.
I hear you.
Oh, I
but
hate
even
the chipmunks.
But even that being said, chipmunks... Still better than Mary, did you know your cool kid was going to cure blind people?
Nope. Yeah. So you're driving home
yep.
today, and
that
Coach
song,
Steph, Coast is on the radio like it is, and that song comes
it's not
on.
Not on my radio.
And hit the button?
Yeah, in a second.
You don't turn it up and root for Alvin to get his hula hoop?
Root for Alvin to get his hula hoop.
Come on!
Those words were just said.
They're adorable, those little chipmunks.
By the way, he is a horribly behaved little chipmunk and does not deserve a Christmas
he's
present.
Pretty nice.
Here's how much of this song I get before I change the radio. Boom! I'm on to another station. What's on someplace else?
All right. 1-800-520-1067. You've heard what the bad men have to say. What's your least favorite Christmas song, the one that drives you crazy? You dread it coming on the radio every year at this time. We'll take your calls next. Right after this on K-Rock.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Pretty cool trick, isn't it, Mary? How did he do it when he was a baby? Did he walk on a path when he was a child? Or was he have to be grown up before he got superpowers?
Played that one from for Nicole here on the world famous K-Rock 106.
Just when I thought I could not love her more.
KRQ. What?
she brings
but she
it
doesn't,
home.
She doesn't enjoy Christmas wrapping, so she's a bad person,
she's
and
the
she's
best
wrong.
Person.
Oh, how dare
you. You forgot cranberries, too?
I mean, what are the chances?
That's how that song should end. Punched in the face with a can of cranberries.
Such a good song.
All right, to me, there are two categories. There is the Christmas song that you hate instantly,
yeah.
And then there are a lot of Christmas songs where you've heard them so much you can't take them anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like there's two categories.
That's
there.
True.
Let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about the Christmas song. You can't hit the button fast enough to stop it from invading your ear holes. And why don't we start with Laura? She's in Tustin. She's on line one to get us going, and I've got her back. Hey, Laura.
Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's the worst Christmas song of all time?
Absolutely, without a doubt, the mother effing Christmas shoes.
Amen, mother. Amen.
She's been sick for quite a while. Know these shoes will make her smile. Want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight.
Laura, you have you have no soul and you have no heart.
No, there's so much wrong with that song. It's hard to even know where to begin.
Because of all the wonderful lessons it teaches you about the Christmas season? Is that what's wrong with it?
No, but it doesn't. You see, first of all, like, why is the kid off buying shoes as opposed to being with his dying mother? Second of all,
because he's trying to give her one last moment of happiness. That's why.
No. What are we?
Why do you hate your mother, Laura? That's what we really need to get down to.
Why do you hate your mother?
Why do you hate your own mother?
And why do you hate the baby Jesus?
Right.
No, I love the baby. See, here's the thing: the baby Jesus doesn't care if mom has pretty shoes. Baby Jesus is going to love mom anyway.
The kid doesn't know that. The kid knows that Christmas presents equal love. That's in
the
little kid's mind.
And the kid should meet Jesus too.
And the guy standing in line behind the kid is he's all consumed with himself, and he hears that story, and he pays for the rest of the money the kid needs for the shoes.
Why do we have to make it about him? Why can't we make it like, oh, hey, and then the nice shoe salesman said, oh, it's okay, kid. You can take the shoes to your mom. No, the dude writing the song and singing it turns it all back around on himself and is like, whoa, look how cool I am.
Because he learned an important lesson.
Oh, right. Laura.
He learned an important lesson about love and Christmas.
All right. Everybody, look at me.
All right. Oh, you're awful.
Laura, you're
the worst woman ever.
Here's what I can say, Laura. Love the passion. All right. Let's try Glendale, please, line two. This is going to be Sarah up next on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about your least favorite Christmas song. Hi, Sarah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I freaking hate Baby, It's Cold Outside.
What?
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
I agree.
What do you hate about that song?
It's like the rapiest song ever. Dude won't let her leave.
Yeah.
Like, he's putting stuff in her drink.
It's super
like,
creepy.
He's not putting stuff in her drink.
He is.
Did you say it's the rapiest song ever?
Yeah. Like, he's like, there's nothing I love more than a, like, great Yule log and a roofie cocoa, you know?
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Okay, I can see that.
He's just trying to convince her to stick around. She really wants to stay anyway.
No, it's pretty rapey.
It's super rapey.
It has not aged well.
I think it's rape is in the eye of the beholder.
It's gross.
All right, thank you,
let's try Costa
Mesa,
please.
Creepy as creepy does.
Let's try Jessica, line three. She's up next with a stone-cold Christmas classic that she's about to rain on.
All right. Hi, Jessica.
Classic. It's five words repeated over and over again.
Oh, really?
What is it?
Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas. That is the world's most annoying song. It's worse than It's a Small World.
Esquire came out with their 10 worst Christmas songs, and this is the worst.
Really?
According to them as well.
Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
You've heard the whole song.
It's really when Paul entered his lazy period.
Yes.
Yeah.
That song,
he would put any phrase to music and then just put some sleigh bells behind it.
Right? And then it just repeats for 7 minutes.
Yeah, it's awful. You're absolutely right. That is awful.
You're right, Jessica. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. By the way, we don't have anyone on the phones, but I had a number of people, including blah, blah, blah on Twitter, who says, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
This is the other one for me.
Blah, blah, blah writes it. It says, I will change the station anytime that comes on. No hippopotamus for you, little girl. Could we hear a taste of that?
Just a taste, though, because we don't want him to go away.
Right.
All right, here you go.
I want a hippopotamus.
Christmas.
Yeah, that kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so she was 11 when she sang that, by the way.
Santa needs to choke that kid out.
The only good.
You guys are awful.
The only good part of the song is that hippopotamuses kill more people than lions do in Africa. So you know if she gets one, it's going to wreck her. It's going to murder her, which will be awesome.
Let's take one more. See the blood. Covina, please. Let's get Phoebe on the air. She's on line six. She's going to have the final word on the worst Christmas song ever.
Hey, Phoebe.
Hi.
Peace. Hi there. Worst Christmas song of all time?
Definitely, Grandma's Gonna Get Run Over by a Reindeer.
Wow.
Now, is that, did you hate that instantly, or is it just because of the repetition?
It's instant. Why would you want to hear about a grandma getting run over?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
At least he's a brilliant musician.
There's no such thing as Santa.
That voice.
Because.
But as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
See, they wanted her to
die.
Yeah,
Grandma was a bitch.
Do you get it, Phoebe? She was a terrible person.
I love the fact at least it has that redneck quality to it, too. That really just makes it particularly awful.
All right. I think we've helped a lot of people put their playlist together for the holidays, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the OG Hay song. I'll allow it.
Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:37.
Actor Josh McDermott, he is Eugene, don't you know, on AMC's The Walking Dead, joins us later on this morning here on K-Rock, and another chance for you to win tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Almost to Christmas 2016 coming up. Ralph, I'm going to let you introduce our next guest, because I know you've been looking forward to this one all week.
I'm a huge fan of this next guest. There are filmmakers who maybe in their time aren't as appreciated as much as they should be.
Right.
And then after they're gone, the whole world wakes up and says, oh, this guy was a genius. Hitchcock comes to mind. Not appreciated, really, during his time while he was making films. In retrospect, everyone knows what a brilliant filmmaker he
was. I'm looking at the schedule. Are we doing something different?
No, we are not. We're talking to an auteur, a writer, director, a man who has created a body of work that will live on far beyond his own years. I'm talking about the legendary adult film director, Leroy Myers, ladies and gentlemen. Leroy Myers.
Leroy Myers.
I'm kind of like Hitchcock.
You are, sir, right. Yes.
Leroy is the founder of WoodRocket.com, one of the most popular destinations on the internet for adult video content. You founded it back in 2012, but it says here that you made your first porn parody back in college, and I would be a terrible broadcaster if I didn't ask what that one was, Leroy.
Well, it wasn't hardcore, but we had started when Naked News had started. And I thought that was a great idea. So I got some friends together that didn't mind being naked, and we did something called The Young and the Topless.
Okay, Young and the Topless is a great start.
Soap opera, yeah. It was as good as it sounded.
I mean, it's no Sailor Poon.
Right?
What is?
For those who don't know, Leroy is the king of the porn parodies. Really, I fell in love with him, I think, initially, once I heard about 10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, sure. Irresistible.
And then I went back and looked at the rest of his work, like Strokeymon and Nardians of the Galaxy. There is a long list of work that Leroy has put together. And I got to tell you, sir, you are really carrying the banner of the porn parody, which really is perhaps the best thing that porn has to offer.
Well, I appreciate it. I know there's probably some people masturbating now to something else who would have a different answer, but I appreciate it. I make what I funnier and gives them a reason to stay longer. So we have some fun and we pay homage to stuff and we add vaginas.
Now, I have to ask if this is information you're allowed to release. What has been the most popular of your movies on WoodRocket? I'm guessing it's Game of Bones just because that show is so popular, right?
It was really popular, but I would actually say 10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles. It broke our server. So
wow. I mean, that's a tough argument right there. That's a tough one. Tough call.
So number-wise, I'd say that, but... you know, they all get their own audiences, and they all have their different fans and people who say we killed their childhoods. And,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And we we appreciate each and every one of them.
Do you ever get worried, though, about what the audience is, Leroy, for example, with SpongeBob SquareNuts? Do you wonder who's actually dialing that one up? That would concern me.
You can't
be picky.
Go out and, yeah, everybody's got
it's
their
art,
own
Ralph.
Fantasy.
It's art. You just create it, and then you set it loose in the world.
Straight,
right.
It's art.
Now, your name came up last week on the show, Leroy, when Ralph brought us news of Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers. This has been very popular for you at woodrocket.com?
Yeah, absolutely. People seem to enjoy it. Okay, well, they don't seem to troll us.
They watch it.
The other stuff. Yeah, I think so. I think people are digging it, and
monthly payments, budgeting. That's what managing your life is all about. So it makes sense to trade higher payments for lower payments whenever you can. LoanMe has structured its offer to you with that in mind. Our payment slicer loan has monthly payments starting at $80 for a $7,500 unsecured loan. And the payment slicer offers loans up to $100K. You can swap and consolidate all your high payment debts for one lower monthly payment. LoanMe will even pay off your credit card, student loans, and personal loans directly, so you don't need to worry about a thing. The whole process takes about 5 minutes of your time, and boom, you slice your monthly nut by over half in many cases. So call 844-5-LOAN-ME for your payment slicer today.
Sample loan amount, $7,500. 180 payments of $80.14. APR of 12.22. Not all applicants will qualify for this rate. Loan approval and terms subject to credit standards. See LoanMe website for more details. Loans made pursuant to California Department of Business Oversight Finance Lender License Number 603-K061.
That's 844-5-LOAN-ME and slice your way to a cheaper budget today. That's 844-5-LOAN-ME. I've loaned me.
We're proud of.
Oh, you know, your Pounder Rangers, you got Willie and you got Creamy and you got Zach. Was it tough to cast that pivotal role of Wimberly?
That was the most normal thing you've ever said.
This is the strangest conversation ever.
You should try being me.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Was it tough to cast Wimberly? Because that's such a crucial point in the movie. And I just wondered if you had a lot of actresses who were vying to play Wimberly.
I'm going to say yes, but actually we don't usually do auditions. We know who we're going to work with, and so there's no fist fights or anything.
In that way, you are like Orson Welles. You have your own little group of players that you use over and over again in your films.
Well, I'm like Orson Welles in that I'm a little overweight, but more than that. But yeah, we do use a lot of the same people.
You're just being modest right now. Look, Steven Spielberg won't admit he's the greatest. Other people have to say it, and you find yourself in the same position here this morning, Leroy.
I'm definitely not the greatest. I just I have a job I like to do, and everybody has fun, and we don't take it. You know, we do our jobs 120%, but we know what we do. We're not, you know, very fortunate.
Is any movie off limits for you? Is anything just sacred and you can't touch it?
Sophie's Choice.
Yeah.
Really?
That would be hard, I think, to make a funny porn parody out of.
It's difficult. Yeah. More that it's difficult than, you know, Sacred Cow.
Okay. Although you made the human sexapede, so if you can make that work, you can make almost anything work.
That's true. I see your point. Touche.
All right. Leroy, before we go, I want to make sure I understand this correctly. You're currently screening the Mighty Morphin, the Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers on woodrocket.com for free. Is that right?
Yeah. All of our stuff on woodrocket.com is free. All the porn, all of the Ask a Porn Star episodes, all of our parodies. All free.
Sounds like a bad business model.
Yeah.
Well, we should maybe make some money at doing this.
You should talk to a businessman.
Yeah.
You are doing the Lord's work. I know that sounds odd.
I'm not positive that's what he's doing.
If Jesus were alive,
okay. He's doing Tracy Lord's work.
Right. There you go. Boom. Leroy, congratulations on all your success at Wood Rocket. We're big fans. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin DeBeat Show today.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Not quite as good as my version, I think, but she does okay.
She's, I think, maybe a little better.
I'll have to agree to disagree on this
okay.
one.
Okay.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
We were just talking about Christmas music not too long ago, about a half an hour ago. We were touching base with the worst Christmas songs of all time.
Right.
Mary, don't you know? Mary, do you know? Mary, don't you know? Mary, don't you know? That'd be a great Christmas song. We may have a new instant classic
Uh-oh.
As I told you before, we're talking about the most popular Christmas songs in America, according to Billboard 100. Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You is by far the most popular Christmas song, has been for years. Most downloaded, most purchased, biggest most Christmas hit.
Okay.
There's a mashup that exists. I don't know why, but it does.
Okay.
This is from YouTuber One Bored Jew.
Okay.
I guess that's the explanation behind why he put these together.
Sure.
I never would have heard these two and said, yes, these blend together perfectly. But it's Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Okay.
With Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance.
And what do you think of it, Rob?
What?
There is a mashup of these two.
How do those two?
The emo classic and the Christmas favorite go head to head and become a odd cocktail of eggnog and bile.
Oh. Sounds good.
It doesn't work for me. They fit perfectly, and yet it's not great taste that tastes great together.
I hoped I would like it.
Anyway, you be the judge. Here's a little audio from the mashup of Mariah Carey and My Chemical Romance. All I Want for Christmas Is You, while we welcome the Black Parade.
Because one day I'll leave you a phantom to lead you in the summer to joy.
Hashtag fail.
I mean, it's done well technically.
Right?
Yeah.
Yet it just doesn't have that.
Doesn't really.
Doesn't improve on either song.
Doesn't have that extra.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
That Madonna dress as a clown sort of quality
right,
to it.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Two great things that taste great together. We were talking about also Paul McCartney during our bad Christmas music break.
Yeah.
With that awful, do they know it's Christmas? Welcome to the Christmas time, simply having
a wonderful Christmas
right.
time.
The popularity of the Beatles never ceases to amaze and confuse me. But their collectibles, when they go up for auction, are invariably some of the biggest
sure.
in the world. There's a brand new auction, Sotheby's Auction House is having, that has the piano John Lennon used to write the songs for the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album. It's going
wow.
up for auction. This was from his home in Kenwood in the UK, and it will hit the auction block on December 10th. It will hit the auction block, rather, on December 10th. What do you think they're expecting to get for the piano that Paul McCartney, the little upright piano, sat in the corner of his living room? Apparently, he wrote many of his tunes for Sgt. Pepper on that.
$200,000.
That would be an excellent guess, Kevin.
Thank you.
If it wasn't $2 million.
Wow.
It's not a magic piano that you channel his
nope.
no,
genius
as soon
through.
As you sit, you're able to play and write songs. Right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, it is
That's
simply wood and ivory and strings.
Wow.
And
gotta check
is
that
it
out.
Ebony and ivory?
Sweet Jesus.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, right. Vin, I let Vince
right,
down.
Vin. Right, Vinster?
Sorry, Vin.
Put it in the file.
Yeah. And how about some applause for Leah Remini? She's a bold, brave lady. Her new show, Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, premieres Tuesday at 10 p.m. That would be tonight. Tuesday at 10 p.m. on A&E. And she is, as you can imagine, running afoul of the bigwigs at the Church of Scientology.
She was a member for a long, long time.
A long time member of that church. And she walked away, and she has been very vocal.
They're not big fans of people who walk away.
Mm-mm. And she has been threatened, both legally and in other forms. Because of her stand against the religion, and now she's got this series. And she said, look, bring it. She's going to do it. She has compassion, she says, for the members of their religion because they're taught to be very hateful and judgmental towards anyone who isn't a Scientologist.
I can't believe you're not a Scientologist, Ralph.
But she has said that she's going ahead with the show anyway, and she's got a lot of things to say. So
I know that it's about you go into a desert, and there's a ship somewhere, and then you sign a huge check, and if you don't, they'll
kill you.
By the way, she says the average parishioner in the Church of Scientology has ponied up $250,000 to belong to that church.
The average.
Average parishioner.
Wow.
And she said that's one of the reasons it's not easy to walk away. Imagine sinking $250,000 into something and then saying, wow, I made a huge mistake. Yeah. Psychologically, it's hard for you to say,
kidding.
How could I invest this much money into something and then just walk away from it? Not to mention the personal pressure they put on you to stay in the religion.
But and a financial scam, that is.
Why the religion would try so hard to keep you in the fold, too, if you're contributing that kind of money.
Yeah. So, tonight, A&E, 10 p.m., you want to check it out? I'll be watching.
Do we have time for the tape where Kevin insisted the Scientology person that we had on the air leave the studio immediately?
Sure.
Remember that?
Yeah.
This is not the way that we wanted this conversation to go, so I want to ask you to leave. Step out, please. We're done. We're finished. We're finished. Do I need to have somebody come physically remove you? Stand up and leave, please. Thank you.
Wow. Kevin taking a stand.
Right? I got to tell you, a complete bluff, too. We didn't have anyone to come in and take him out.
There was no one who would come in to remove him. He could have sat there for the rest of the show. He could have done Showbiz Beat with me. There's no way we could have gotten him out of the studio.
I was thinking, there's no one.
Yeah.
Sell it. Sell it good.
Wow.
Yeah, Kevin, of course. Kevin, take the stand.
Well, he came in.
The hammer down.
He came in and he would talk while Bean was talking, and he would talk while I was talking. And then we took calls and he would talk while the callers were. There was no one he would let speak.
It's part of their process is they beat you down with intimidation and with sort of verbal bullying, and they flip everything back onto you. It's like, what about you? What about the things you've done? What about your religion? What about, it's always, you know,
you can't even
the finger the other way.
Finish a question or talk to him or anything. It was ridiculous.
Very effective psychological warfare. Not with Kevin, though. Luckily,
right?
Kevin doesn't have enough psychological to be warfared on.
I'm right here.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Ralph, I'm right here.
What? Are you still here? Do I have to get someone to remove you, Kevin, from the studio?
I wish you would have said, go ahead. What would I have done?
Oh, well, then, okay.
Okay, then. You want to do showbiz?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Russell Wilson's 28 years old today. The Game is 37. Chadwick Boseman, 40 years old. Anna Faris. Also 40 years old. Jonathan Knight, he was a member of the New Kids on the Block. I guess he still is, because I think they still perform from time to time.
Don't they have a residency in Vegas right now?
Oh, do they? I believe.
And they're still playing huge venues. Arena. They're on an arena tour right now, too.
Just came back from a cruise.
Are they in Vegas? Are they on a cruise?
Are
they playing
both.
Arenas?
They're
Where are these
things?
Guys?
Why can't it be all?
Because they're just man.
I think they I think they might be in Las Vegas for the holidays, but I know they're coming to the Smoothie King Center
Holy
in New Orleans
crap.
In January.
Holy crap. It's the New Kids on the Block.
Right.
And you said Smoothie King Center.
Right. Where the Pelicans play. They're
that
playing there with
place
Paula
should be
Abdul.
Burned down. That should be
they got,
burned
they got
to
Paula
the ground.
Abdul and Boys to Men on the bill with them.
Smoothie King Center.
That's the worst, worst named venue ever.
Don Cheadle's 52 years old today. Tom Sizemore's 55. Howie Mandel of America's Got Talent fame, 61 years old.
And deal or no deal?
Thank you, Bean.
We'll make sure we all understand who we're talking about here.
And Vin Scully, your former Los Angeles Dodgers announcer, is 89 years old today.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Yeah, 89, Vin. Doing great, buddy. Hang in there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
This is your chance to be part of the Kevin and Bean Show. Instead of just being a listener, you can call us on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
All right, we got a good batch of calls here. Let's see how many we can get to. Let's start with Andrea in Pasadena. Please, line 5 to get us going on this edition of Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good?
I would like to speak to Allie about the finale of Gilmore Girls.
Oh, now let's be very careful
so
here because some of us haven't, you know, been able to watch it. It just dropped on Friday, right?
Right. Okay. We will not give away the final four words.
Okay.
However, I will say this. Was it great to see old friends? Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Amazing.
I feel like Andrea loved it. Here's
more.
here's my only complaint.
Yeah.
Episodes 2 and 3?
Yeah.
Why?
Weird.
You didn't need to be in there. And when did it turn into Glee? I don't need the musical numbers enough. It felt like too much. But I love seeing all of them. Everybody aged amazingly. They look amazing.
So good.
I will welcome any new Gilmore Girls if more were to come our way.
Right.
Even including the final four words, whatever those were?
They were Make America Great Again. I don't mind saying it out loud.
It was great to see everybody, and it was so good to have them back on my TV. Loved it.
It was, right? Do you guys know if they're going to continue it? That's my question.
Maybe they were trying to gauge the response from the revival.
Well, if they gauge it on Andrea, they're going to do about 20 more seasons.
And they were waiting to hear from Andrea, so I think more to come.
I already signed the petition. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course you did. All right. Thank you for your call, Andrea. We appreciate it. Let's try Jason Inglewood, line 7, up next on the Kevin and Beach Show. This is going to be some real whiplash going from the Gilmore Girls to what Jason's calling about.
Hey, Jason.
How's it going?
It's going well. Where are you?
I'm in Inglewood.
Okay, what's happening?
Are you selling something?
I am running a piece of equipment at the Rams Stadium.
Oh, you're building the new Rams Stadium.
Yes, sir.
When is that supposed to be finished? It's not for a couple of years, is it?
No, we're still at the phases of digging the dirt out so that the stadium can go into it.
I see.
All right.
Maybe it would go quicker if you weren't making phone calls.
Right. Now, here's the thing I want to know. What do you know about the stadium so far that strikes you as the coolest thing about it when it opens?
It's just going to be a lot of good things over here. I mean, it's going to be good for the community, and there's going to be a lake and...
Looking forward to that lake.
As long as there's going to be a lake, I'm happy. All right. Thank you for the call.
I'm sorry, Jason, we have to hang up. Everything is just, it just sounds like a war zone.
Yeah, it's very noisy there.
Jason
very noisy.
Didn't sound sober.
That concerns me.
I'm
don't let him operate heavy machinery.
No, Jason's he's the right guy for that.
When we sell for the calls, Kevin, we always include the option of complaints. And I'm afraid we're going to have to deal with Matt. He's in Azusa. He's on line 2. He is not very happy with the Kevin and Bean Show. Tonight.
Okay. Hey, Matt.
Matt, what's going on, buddy?
The hole in my heart from the missing Butterball Turkey hotline just grows year after year.
We did it Wednesday.
No, we did it last 10 years ago, Kevin.
We did it Tuesday.
Oh, God.
Look,
the Christmas CDs used to be the thing I waited for more than anything on planet Earth. I'd bring back the Christmas CDs.
Yeah, well, CDs are hotter than ever. I know that.
Christmas streaming, MP3s.
We'd love to do that, but the management here is not a fan of that particular thing.
And by the way, Alexis Bledel did not age well. She has Angela Lansbury's neck for some reason.
What are you talking about? She's a beautiful young woman.
I will fight you.
I saw Angela Lansbury's neck last night at the Troop.
Did you?
Yeah, really good.
Matt, you're going to have to let it go and move on with us into the 21st century. I'm sorry we've disappointed you so, but thank you for the call, sir.
We'll see you, Miss Double D. All right,
is that
where
a
are we going?
Kid? Did I just hear a little tiny kid?
You did, yes.
Let's try Brad in Chino Hills. He wants to drop some medical knowledge on me. Line 3, please.
Okay, hey, Brad.
Hey, Bean, for being the healthiest man in the world, you have no understanding of the human body.
Yeah, it's shocking because...
What are you talking about?
Bean is one of the smartest people that I've ever met. And yet, when it comes to the world of the anatomy, he knows nothing. It's shocking.
So, Bean, there's a difference between, like, prevention and, like, awareness. Or prevention and, like, detection, early detection. Prevention is, like, you know, wearing stuff so you don't get an STD. And, like, detection is, I have high blood pressure, so, you know, keep it down so I don't get a stroke.
Bean's complaint is that if somebody seems healthy one day and then they have a heart attack the next...
Makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah.
And we were just having this conversation about the great actress Florence Henderson, who died, who was just, on TV at the Dancing with the Stars finale a few nights ago, and she looked great, and she was in good shape, and she was thin, and she was happy, and she was mobile. She wasn't like an old lady sitting around waiting to die. And then, boom, a couple days later, she has a heart attack and drops dead.
That's,
like, what's up with that,
Brad? What do you mean, what's up with that? That's how it happens.
I don't like it.
And who cares?
But Bean, you can also, like, go and get, like, EKG and see if your heart's actually doing well. There's a bunch of other factors that, you know, you might look healthy and then be like you and, you know, crippling, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
That's messed up with your back. You know,
you don't want the crippling whatever it is. I do know that. I know that much about it.
I don't think you're in a position to make fun of Brad here, Bean.
So you're saying that sometimes people just die.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't want to live in your America, Brad. I'm sorry. Thank you for calling. This has been What's Good.
What's Good?
I've been saying for a long time, and I'm not the only one, that we've never seen anyone like Donald Trump, a guy with no military experience, with no experience in government, who just captures the imagination of the nation and is elected as the president. And there's a lot of firsts involved in Donald Trump, and I think he may be the first president who has an ongoing merch booth at the White House. He is already rolling out products. I mean, look, the guy's – he became famous as a businessman. Dude knows how to make money, right?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if he's going to be selling it, but maybe you've seen the pictures of his new hat. He's got a new hat that he's wearing now. It's a red hat like the Make America Great Again hat, but it just says USA on the front, and then it has a number 45 on the side, which because he's the 45th president, right? I don't know if he's going to be selling those, but on his website, he's already now selling Christmas ornaments. You can buy Donald Trump Christmas ornaments now, and we want to find out what's going on with that. It's time for another Trump date.
He's a guy.
Sit down. The president-elect of the United States, Donald J. Trump, joins us back on KROQ right now. Hi, Mr. Trump.
I'm dreaming of an exclusively white Christmas.
And happy holidays to you as well, my friend.
Happy holidays to you, to your listeners, and even to all the losers out there, okay?
That's even the losers.
That's even nice the losers. I want them to have a very merry Christmas, okay?
Well, that's very nice of you. And we appreciate you squeezing in a call. We know you're very busy getting ready to go out on your victory parade tour that kicks off on Thursday in Ohio.
First, I have to pick a Secretary of State, and I'm very, very close to picking one.
Oh.
And you'll find who that is next week. So tune in to next week's episode, okay? It's going to be
unbelievable. Next week's episode?
This is real life. This is a reality show.
I choose on the Celebrity Presidential Apprentice, okay?
Oh, no.
We'll find out after the break.
But really, right now, I'm just busy making Christmas great again, okay?
Oh, I didn't realize Christmas had an issue.
Mikga. That's the hashtag Mikga.
Mikga. Okay.
It's not very catchy.
Not at all. But people are buying it. I can't believe it.
So I mentioned the Christmas ornament. Can you describe what you're selling for $149 on your website?
For the low price of $149.
That's a lot for a Christmas ornament.
You get a Donald Trump campaign hat Christmas ornament, okay? It says Make America Great Again. It's in the famous red hat style, but it is made from brass and 14 karat gold, and it is the greatest Christmas ornament anyone has ever put on their tree. Your tree will be so happy to wear this ornament. It'll be the happiest tree.
How can
ever.
You tell if your tree's happy?
Because it sucks up all the water. That's how you know.
I see.
For $149, it makes a great Christmas gift, trust me. So get one for everyone in the family. And also, we're just starting the entire exclusive Trump Christmas merchandise website where you can get anything that you could imagine.
So there's more than just that hat?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But is this appropriate for you as the president-elect to be selling stuff to the people you represent?
Oh, I could not care less, really.
Okay. All right. So you got the ornament. What else?
I left the probably behind a long time ago. It's really not a big deal to me.
Okay.
Another Christmas ornament with the Trump Christmas pussycat ornament.
Oh, dear.
It's a beautiful little pussycat with a little bow around its neck.
Right.
Adorable. Adorable. Unbelievably adorable cat.
Right.
It's a little pussycat. The only problem is when you grab it to put it on the tree, it files a lawsuit immediately, which is unfounded, by the way. It's a liar. That ornament is a big liar, okay?
Huh, but you're still selling it.
People put twinkle lights on their tree.
Right, sure.
Well, we've got the Donald Trump Twitter lights, not those loser twinkle lights. These are Twitter lights.
Twitter lights.
When you plug them in and turn them on, every time the light blinks, it sends out a tweet saying how pathetic your neighbor's tree is, okay? Unbelievable.
Well, that's not the spirit of the holidays.
You'll have the best tree in the neighborhood.
I don't feel like that's the spirit, though.
A Trump manger. How about the Trump manger setting?
How would that work?
Put it on your table. It's beautiful. It is the manger. Only it's not really a manger. It's the penthouse of the Trump Tower.
Right.
But in the little cradle, baby Donald Trump. How about that?
Oh, that Donald, might... that's a little sacrilegious.
And instead of the Virgin Mary, Ivanka. Okay.
Okay.
There is no virgin. Trust me.
Okay.
She's so incredibly hot.
Okay.
And the three wise men: Chris Christie, Rudy Giuliani, and Steve Bannon. Couldn't find wise men, so I put those three in there. Also, the Trump Yule log. You're going to love the Trump Yule log.
All right, I'm worried about this now.
Huge, by the way. Huge.
Sure.
Log.
Is it?
Yeah. Huge. Huge Trump Yule log.
Uh-huh.
It is actually just my rolled-up tax returns.
Okay.
So just burn those. No one's ever going to see them. Trust me. We've got the Trump Nutcracker. It's me as a nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
And then I crack nuts.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then I immediately deny that I ever cracked nuts.
I see.
Oh.
And then I call CNN liars for saying that I did crack nuts.
You put a lot of thought into that.
It's quite an item.
And then Trump eggnog. You're going to love it.
Oh, no.
Sit around, drink Trump eggnog.
Nope.
It is orange and bitter.
Down. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Beach Show at 8:54.
It's very orchestral, that song.
I love
like
that song.
It builds to a swell. It's like an entire orchestra of voices and instruments performing at the same time.
Right, I'm with you on that.
I love it. It's awesome.
Right, I love it as well.
It builds to a crescendo.
Right.
Oh, spent.
Wow.
You're tired now?
I need 15 minutes or so before I can listen to that song again.
Well, that's very nice, Ralph. It's wonderful to hear
thank
your
you,
story.
Jiminy,
I wonder if anyone else cares.
Oh, Jiminy.
Hey, guys,
I just got clicked.
TV's The Walking Dead is a show that we watch and enjoy Sunday nights on AMC. And Josh McDermott is in the next room. He's going to be joining us in studio. He's Eugene, don't you know? On
question one, how is Eugene still alive?
Because he has adapted and learned as he went.
It wasn't for you. That's not a question for
he
you.
He started off with very few skills.
I thought I would ask him.
Dean, I believe he was posing a question he hopes to get answered in the next segment.
Right. Okay, yeah. Well, we can let Josh answer. He may know more about Eugene than I do.
I think Bean thinks every question is for him.
He does, doesn't he?
Yes.
Coming up right after 9, we're very excited about that. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
He listens to Do They Know It's Christmas on the radio. He's like, I'm sure they do. They have calendars there in Ethiopia. He like, starts responding to the song. He thinks every question is directed towards him.
No one called to add that to the list of terrible Christmas songs, by the way.
But I still love
it. It's wonderful.
I still love it.
I like
a
that
lot,
song.
A lot of people think it really rubs them the wrong way about, you know, thank God it's them instead of us and all that kind of stuff.
Because it forces them to look at reality versus snowmen.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It is a little harsh dose of reality in Christmas, yeah. But that's okay.
At least that song solved hunger in Africa.
Wow.
You know
wow.
what? It did some good. Isn't that something? That it did some good?
Why do you have to take everything good and make it bad?
Did it have to remove the plight of hunger in Africa in order to be a good thing?
No. No, it's fine.
Why do you poop on fun?
It did some good work. I like it and I support it.
All right. Let me give you something to wash the taste of all that out of your mouth. How about not only tickets to an amazing, funny movie premiere, but you also get to party on the red carpet at K-Rock's Ugly Christmas Sweater Party.
Yay!
All that will be happening on the red carpet of Office Christmas Party, the premiere of the film at the Village Theater in Westwood on December 7th. This movie looks great, by the way. Jennifer Aniston, Jason Bateman, T.J. Miller, Kate McKinnon, Olivia Munn. Boy, what a cast, right?
Right.
And it's wacky, and they all drink, and they make bad choices. And that's what you want in a Christmas party, don't you?
I mean, that's basically all Christmas parties, yes.
Yeah. We're giving away a pair of passes to 5 lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through at that number get a pair of passes not only to see the Office Christmas Party premiere, but to have some fun with the K-Rock's Ugly Christmas Sweater Party on the red carpet at the premiere. So call now. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. Life is good. There's new music in the world. Our buddies Imagine Dragons just dropped a new song last night.
Hmm, cool.
You familiar with this movie Passengers?
Yes, it looks so good.
With the ridiculously attractive Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence?
It looks so good.
They play two long-range astronauts who are thawed out of suspended animation, seemingly early, inappropriately early, like
and
something
why?
Has gone wrong,
why
and why, but
why?
Something's going on, something
right?
deeper's going on.
Right?
I know, Lawrence Fishburne, you can't be trusted. But then they go like, you're hot. Oh, you're hot, too. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. And it's space sex. Oh, you can see them. Jennifer Lawrence, like, climbing over the table to get at Chris Pratt.
Sex must be hard, though.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
You got
it right.
90 years to be nothing but just bone.
Lord.
Anyway, the reason I bring that film up.
I don't want to.
Wow, you just ruined that film for me.
Is because Imagine Dragons have a new song on the soundtrack of that film called Levitate. And they released it last night around 9 o'clock. If you want to hear the whole thing, you can go to krock.com. But I thought you might like to get a little taste here in the Showbiz Beat. Here's some new Imagine Dragons from their song, Levitate.
Though our journey is long, I know our love is strong. You're my shooting star, flying high above.
Sounds spacey, doesn't it?
It does.
Does it make you think of space?
Sure.
Come on,
Heaven. I mean, it sounds good. I don't know that it makes me think of space.
Let the art wash over you.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Turtle likes it.
It's hard to be Ed Sheeran. First of all, you have to be sort of a gnomish ginger.
Oh, don't you dare. Gnomy, don't you dare.
Ginger gnomy troll.
He does. He looks like a statue come to life. You're absolutely right, Ralph.
Looks like a garden gnome.
Still yep, would. Absolutely.
Oh, hello. Yes, I'm here to protect your roses and also sing a song for you.
That's how he should
but
be talking.
He has the voice of God.
He should have a pointy hat and big pointy shoes, and he should sit in your garden.
Allie, give us some insight into the female mind here. What is attractive? You may like his music. What's attractive about Ed Sheeran physically?
He's self-deprecating. He's very funny. He's very
sexy. He's got a good
sexy.
Personality. What's attractive about his
that,
physically?
That makes
though?
You very sexy.
Mm. You're going to have sex with his personality, are you?
I'd have sex with his personality yeah. twice on Sunday.
Because he's pudgy and he's pale and he's got that bad hair.
Listen, I am not one to pass up a pudgy pale dude.
That's true. That is sort of your
said
type.
Said it for years.
Yeah. You have said that.
Anyway, Ed Sheeran, he's in the UK and he's hanging out with Princess Beatrice. And of course, Kevin, you know Princess Beatrice is?
The Queen of Scotland?
Nope. She is the daughter of?
The Queen of Scotland?
No, it's Prince Andrew's eldest daughter.
Okay.
In the lineage of the royal family there in the UK. And so they're goofing, right? The two of them are goofing, like a pop star and a princess do. Oh, the pop star and the princess. Oh, no, note to self. Write movie called Pop Star and Princess. That title sells itself, doesn't
it? Sure does,
it?
Yeah.
They're goofing around the Royal Lodge in Windsor, like you do. And Ed said he'd like to be knighted. So Beatrice thought it was funny, so she grabs a sword. And as she's pulling the sword out, she doesn't realize that Ed is standing behind her.
Oh, no.
No.
And she gives the blade a swing.
Oh, cut off his head?
No.
Ed's
but
dead.
Slice his right cheek open.
That's pretty cool.
Right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That scar has such a good story.
Right.
He was taken immediately to Epsom Hospital in Surrey in the UK, stitched up, and then sent back to keep partying with Princess Beatrice, who I might
take a pass on
that knee at that point, if that's what's happening to the party with the princess. But now he's got a sword scar.
Yeah, that's
wow.
For the rest of his life. What's that scar? Oh, sword fight. A princess swiped me with a sword.
Yeah. I didn't fight back because I'm that kind of guy.
She's a chick. I'm not fighting a chick. I don't care if she's got a sword or not. I kept my hands down. I'm a gentleman. So she cut my face open.
That's good.
My name is Inigo Montoya. Killed my father. Prepare to die. You could say that, too. Sword fight. That. How many guys get sword cuts?
Wow.
I mean, not a lot.
You guys, fight. You don't get it, man. All right, Allie, we know what a sword fight is.
Okay. Kevin, did the Queen have a comment on the injury at the palace?
No, she did not.
Really? Come on. Queen Elizabeth must have had something to say, Kevin. Queen Elizabeth II?
He should be happy because we're royalty.
That's all she said.
No, I wish she hadn't had a comment.
Right? I told you she didn't.
Today's celebrity birthday is Vin Scully. He's 89 years old today.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No.
Yeah, you are. Howie Mandel, 61. A lot of actors born today. Tom Sizemore is 55. Don Cheadle's 52. Chadwick Boseman. Oh, his Black Panther is so good. 40 years old today. Anna Faris, also 40. From the New Kids on the Block, Jonathan Knight is 48. Russell Wilson, QB for the Seahawks, is 28. The Game is 37 years old. And legendary French President Jacques Chirac, one of the great French statesmen of all time, He celebrates his birthday today. He famously, I think, had a conversation with, it was a popular entertainer. I'm trying to remember who that was.
I don't think that happened.
I think you're remembering it incorrectly, Ron.
I distinctly remember. It was some years ago, but I remember Jacques Chirac.
You've been told that you don't remember
being
that.
Being on the phone with a very funny comedian, I want to say.
No.
This isn't
no
ring a bell for anyone.
No.
No call was made like that to anyone.
Nope. Anyway, happy birthday, Jacques Chirac is 84. We should call him and wish him a happy birthday.
Yeah, we should.
What do you say?
Not. Yes.
Let's call him and wish him a happy birthday.
Maybe not.
Happy birthday to you.
Technically, we haven't been told not to do that, Bean.
President to you. Blah, blah, dee, hoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right.
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 Sunday nights at 9 on AMC, it's The Walking Dead. Bad news, kids. Only 2 episodes left
this season. That's bogus, by the way.
It is kind of ridiculous, I got to be honest. It should be on year-round. Josh McDermott, one of the stars of the show, joins us in studio right now.
Hey.
He, of course, is Eugene, and he sits down here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Yay, sorry I'm not Norman Reedus. That's just, I usually have to apologize when I sit down for an interview. They're like, and it's Eugene. All right.
We've had Norman before. We had a lot of your cast members in on the show over the years, and we're delighted to have you. Welcome, Josh.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great. I'm excited to be here.
Now, Kevin has been smack-talking you all day long leading up to this moment because, Kevin, you say what? That he's the last person you expected to still be alive at this point in The Walking Dead?
Well, the character Eugene starts out with the whole false premise that he's going to take them to Washington and they're going to solve the whole issue.
Right.
Like he's the savior of everything.
Yeah. Right.
And then everybody learns that he's not really. Mm-hmm. And he's the least likely person, I think, to still be alive in that world.
I think he represents so many of what we would be. The whole universe would be Eugene in the apocalypse.
I'm afraid you're correct.
And you would die after about 3 weeks.
Right, but you didn't.
He's somehow figured out a way. He's smart enough. The thing is, people would say, like fans would say to me, Eugene is not that smart. He was just lying about having the cure. No, he is smart. That's how he was able to stay alive and lie about that.
That was a brilliant ploy to be protected.
Yeah, so he's I don't know. I kind of always looked at him as a type of guy who would play Xbox or PlayStation all the time. And he even said it last season. He said, in order to survive, you have to change and adapt
right.
in order to become the survivor. And I think that's what you have to do in a video game, too. Like, you have to just learn how to play the level. And so if he's just it's kind of sad that he's viewing the apocalypse video game. But it's working.
It's working. Now, what do we know about Eugene's backstory? He's a doctor, right?
No, he's not. He was
a doctor.
He was lying about all of that.
Oh, none of that was true. Okay.
None of it.
What do we know about his backstory? Like, what's for reals with Eugene?
We don't know a lot, and we will kind of get a bit of a glimpse. I don't want to say when, but is it
this Sunday?
At some point this season.
This Sunday?
Well, there's only 2 episodes left. So
right. But we'll get a little glimpse into what I feel like his backstory is, just kind of who he was before the apocalypse.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know that we'll ever have like a full episode where we have flashbacks and that sort of thing. We try to not do that on the show because I think it slows up the pace. But I think he's just he was always the type of guy who would just maybe stay at home with his mom. You know, maybe live with her.
He's definitely living with his mom.
You know what I mean? He's
100%.
Like that kind of guy who's just fine with coming home and eating a bag of potato chips and maybe playing some video games.
Like Brendan Dassey.
Like what?
Like, huh?
From Making a Murder. Nothing.
Okay.
Go on.
I don't know. Is that a soap opera?
No,
or?
It's real life.
We're talking The Walking Dead.
Okay,
right?
Sorry. Okay, I apologize.
There's actual killing going on.
I apologize.
Josh, do you like Eugene?
I love him. I think he's great.
Does it offend you that so many fans kind of root against him?
I don't root against him seriously. Like, when I say, how is Eugene still alive, I'm not angry about that.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I like the character of Eugene, but how is he still alive?
Well, I question it the same way you do, but I think what kind of bothers me a little bit, just because I'm a person, is when fans would say, like, Eugene's a useless character. This is so stupid. I just want to see Rick, you know, take no crap from people. I want to see Daryl shoot a squirrel and Michonne use her sword. Like, what is this Eugene crap? I'm like, it's called character.
Yeah, it's called there's a whole universe of people that we're following.
Everybody can't be Rick.
No one can be. And the other thing is, like, you know, in the season where we found out, or right before Rick... right before Eugene, we found out he was lying about having the cure. Rick had, like, bit out the neck of another man.
Oh, right.
And killed him. And then people are like, screw you, Eugene, you lied. And I'm like, really? Really? Like, well, what about Rick? He just killed Rick's someone just... by biting his neck. I'm like, ah, that's just Rick. That's what he does.
That's Rick being Rick.
No, I don't know, man. That kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. But then you realize it's just the internet, and they're like 12-year-olds.
What kind of weird response must you get if you're on a show like that?
It's weird.
You hear from all types, right?
I hear from all types. And you know what? And 99% of it is great. I mean, the show changed my life, and it's amazing. And the last show I was on was a sitcom that nobody heard of, nobody watched. It was on a network. I'd explain what it was. Mm. To go from that to the biggest show in the world is incredible. And, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world, but there's been some learning curves, I guess. You know, just dealing with this fandom is pretty intense.
I hate to be that guy who asks a cliched question, but it has to be brought up, Josh, and that is, what was your reaction to being told what kind of hairstyle Eugene was going to have when you started on the show?
I was actually happier about it than what I thought it was going to be.
Did you have that hair?
I did not. Okay. I'm actually a blonde. My hair is about it was like Allie's.
Okay.
And it wasn't really long. It was fairly short, so they started clipping in extensions at the start of the job, but When I auditioned for it, they make up these like fake script for everyone just to kind of keep everything hidden.
Right.
And I thought my name was going to be like Wayne, and I was going to have a mohawk, and like
mohawk.
It was all this like basically the character was there, but all these like tiny details were different. And I thought, oh man, I really don't want to have a mohawk for the next 7 years. And I got like some moles on my head that like people don't need to see. It's just once you shave it, it doesn't look good. And so I was very happy to find out I had a mullet.
You welcomed the mullet.
I welcomed it. You know, it was a hard adjustment at first just because, like I said, I have blonde hair and it was short, and all of a sudden I'm in Georgia with a mullet. It's like, how did my life just change this quickly?
So what are the rules? Because we heard so much about our friend Michael Cudlitz and how he had to keep the Abraham facial hair going even though his character had long ago filmed that death scene. What's it like for you? Like, what are the rules for you when you're off season? Are you required to walk around with that hair?
No, I just have to show up to work the next time we shoot looking the same way I did last time.
They're not worried about fans running into you in the summer, though, and getting a clue as to what's going on based on what your hair's
doing. They do that. I mean, the fans, they'll say, because we do these fan conventions around the country, and people will say all the time, like, well, you still have the mullet, therefore you're alive. And I have to tell them, like, I'm going to keep the mullet until my death is revealed on the show. Like, if I cut it, it would be a dead giveaway.
Is it this Sunday?
This Sunday I die.
Okay. We're getting somewhere now.
We find out about his backstory, and then he dies. But it's, you know, it's just one of those things that I'm going to keep it as long as I need to keep it. But I think Michael had a different, you know, just because he was dead and he had to wait so long, I think he had a different deal. Where he kept, I think he still has a mustache. It's getting kind of sad.
It is a little bit.
This bro, let go.
Let go. Get another job.
All right. What?
You're not coming back. Before the break with Josh McDermott here, of course, from The Walking Dead. He is Eugene Porter, and that is: does Eugene have any kind of game? Is there a universe in which you see a hookup on The Walking Dead with Eugene?
Yeah. I mean, so the show is based on a comic, and he kind of hooks up with Rosita after a while.
Eugene has the game for Rosita?
It's an apocalypse. You get in where you fit in.
Yes.
Right?
Right. I'm saying for him, yes. All but right. I'm saying, does Eugene have that kind of game?
I think he does. Or at least I think he thinks he does.
Right.
Okay.
He's just throwing a bunch of darts at the wall, and one of them will hit a bullseye, you know? He's growing crazy.
Many more questions with our guest. Josh McDermott is here from The Walking Dead, Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Actor Josh McDermott in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's an actor on a little show called The Walking Dead, airing Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. By the way, Josh, in your showbiz bio, it also says comedian.
Uh-huh.
What's that about?
I mean, I did comedy for like 14 years, 12 or 14 years.
Stand
like,
up?
Make me do
and
the
boy,
math.
Were you good. We all remember it.
Yeah, right. Oh.
Yeah.
Man, I was so good.
You were a stand-up comedian, Josh?
Yeah, I did it. Well, I produced radio for a long time in Arizona, and so I was writing bits and writing things for the show and the hosts and that sort of thing. And I started to not have fun with that, no offense to radio, just with that particular job. And then I just needed another outlet to kind of write and do things, so I started doing stand-up, and I enjoyed it. And it's what brought me out here. I did, like, Last Comic Standing and
just
some Comedy Central stuff. Yeah, and then and I came out here to act. Because I'm like, ultimately, that's what I wanted to do. Yeah. And, I mean, this
that's
is The Walking Dead's the first drama I've ever done.
How
wow,
about that?
That's ridiculous.
We're learning a little something here.
A little bit, yeah.
Is it true you're a hot air balloon pilot?
Yeah.
What?
Okay, so in Arizona, there's a lot
Mad
of...
Mad Libs?
I'm thinking he's just writing crap, and if they ask me, good.
Well, that's part of his comedy, is what people will believe. Yeah.
Now, and you're an illusionist?
Yeah, and I can teleport. And
you're a Cherokee Indian, Josh?
I'm a shapeshifter. But no,
wait, hot air balloon pilot.
Yeah, so in Arizona, where I grew up, there's a lot of open land, and there's just a lot of hot air balloons everywhere. So one year, we got a ride for my dad.
Oh.
For like his birthday, and he went up and he landed. He's like, I'm gonna buy a balloon. This was amazing. And so, you know, some families have like a boat or like ATVs or something. We had a hot air balloon.
Wow.
And
your family owned it.
My family owned it. It cost about as much as a used Honda.
And you just take it up for fun whenever you felt like it.
Yeah, we didn't like have a business or anything like that. We were just out there. We were just like this ragtag group of idiots out there flying a balloon.
I would love that. Tough to fly, Josh?
I mean, I not need one really.
Of those. I mean, I'm thinking the same thing.
I need one right now.
It's
this
really
second.
It's amazing. It's so much fun, and just to get up in the sky and it's peaceful, and you really don't hear
you
anything
drop
up there.
Stuff
you could spit on people.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. We would do that all the time.
I don't want to go too far off on this tangent, but I'm personally fascinated. Are you allowed to fly it over cities, or does it have to be over just open land?
You can fly it over a city. That would just be dumb because you want to have a place to land. So you definitely want to have as much open space as possible.
I'm going to get a hot air balloon, you guys.
Same.
I don't think
I'm
that's
so
going to happen.
In.
Same.
It's very easy to fly. And,
okay.
And
we would never, if Bean got a hot air balloon and went up in it, we would never hear from him again. He would just disappear over the ocean someplace and end up dead.
But there is something weird about it, like, because people go, man, you're a pilot? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a pilot. What kind? Hot air balloon. They're like, oh never mind. That's not a big deal.
I mean, really, is pilot the right word?
Yeah, hot air balloon? Pilot, you pilot. It's an aircraft and you
saying,
pilot it.
Okay, but I'm saying really, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
come on, guys, I'm a pilot.
I'm saying,
I'm a pilot.
Maybe
guys.
Just like Eugene was a doctor, right?
Maybe
right.
Pilot is a strong word. That's all right, I'm saying.
Let me take it, in our remaining moments, let me take it back around to The Walking Dead, because I want to compliment you, Josh, sincerely, because this most recent episode that aired Sunday night, was the episode all about Alana, who plays Tara on the show, and mm-hmm. what she'd been up to since the satellite incident. And you appear in the last 2 minutes of the episode, and you broke my heart, man. When she shows up at the gate and she's missed so much, and it's on your face how much bad news you have for her.
Oh.
Not a word was spoken, but wasn't that so beautifully played? Didn't you think, Kevin?
Yes. Oh. Yes, I mean, absolutely.
I felt like you could see
everything that happened on your face, Eugene's face.
Thank you.
Is a scene like that just super, super tough for you? You have a place to go to pull that kind of emotion out of?
Well, I mean, literally, it was like, I think I was crying because I'm like, you're bringing me in for this? Okay. It's hot.
Not
hot
much of a scene. I don't have any words.
No, actually, something like that is difficult because you just have like a small window to kind of hit it. And, you know, I just do it and try to make it as real and truthful as possible and just hope it works. So
and your director just throws you out there, no dialogue, and just says, okay, be sad.
It just says Eugene is there and, you know, he greets her and it's, you know.
So there were no notes on
not that
like,
I remember.
Like you weren't happy to see her or anything. It just was, wow, do you need to learn
a
lot?
I think he was happy to see her because it's like, fine, you know, we didn't at least lose her too.
Right.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, there is a bunch of sadness just knowing. I mean, it wasn't just the sadness of he's, you know, what he's about to tell her, but it's the sadness of just everything that's been going on.
Yeah, you don't have a bed to sleep in. It's that sad. I got a lot of bad news for you, Tara.
Yeah, and I also think Rosita, she wants that bullet, and he knows what's about to happen. You know, he doesn't want to make a bullet for her,
right?
And she's going to force him to do it, and he just knows that bad things are going to continue to happen. And so I think there's just so much going on, and you know.
At some point, you say, that. I'm that bullet.
I'll give
right? me in the chamber and right? shoot me out.
All right, I have a question for you. Carl needs to die. Okay, that's not my question. So Carl gets in the death truck to Negan.
Yeah.
And that tells me that Carl's going to die.
I hope so, man.
Same.
It's like, if we're not going to cut his hair, let's just kill him.
Right?
Thank you for saying all of that. Give the boy a haircut or kill him.
Get the haircut. Let's take him out.
I love Chandler Riggs. But
I'm not talking about Chandler Riggs.
No,
but,
I know. But
Coral.
Like, Coral, come on, man.
He needs to go.
Come on.
Right?
Cut your hair. Like, you already lost an eye. Couldn't you lose, like, a ponytail or whatever the...
How?
I don't know.
It is crazy how he's.
I wasn't expecting that question to go so well. Because usually I bring it up to Robert Kirkman and he just says, nope, not going to happen, not going to happen. But I'm saying now
but that's
it looks
Kirkman.
Like, right.
What does Kirkman
exactly
know?
What does he know? Right.
He may have created this universe, but what does he know?
Right. So does Carl die Sunday night?
Yeah, Carl, everybody dies, actually. It's just Eugene and Baby Judith left.
All right, final question for you, Josh McDermott, and
that's the name of the show, Eugene and Baby Judith.
It transitions into a sitcom.
I like it. I like it so much. Here's my last question for you. Tell us, if you would, what the experience was like of filming the Negan scene where everybody's all propped up and watching bad things go down.
Yeah, I mean, that was rough.
Is that over
man.
Days and days and days you guys shot that?
Yeah, because if you kind of include last season... And that finale, I think it was 2 or 3 days of that, and then three or 4 days this season. So it was like 6 days total of just being on our knees, crying. It's overnight.
It was not
sorry.
Sexy.
Sorry.
No. I just, no, they were on
their
knees.
Being on your knees.
He had a bat named Lucille.
Yeah.
Right.
No, but, you know, our pants were off. And so
was it fascinating to watch him? Because to me, I could not take my eyes off of him.
It was great because we'd all just met him that day. He was still shooting The Good Wife. And so he literally flew in like the day before to shoot.
That was your introduction to him.
Basically, yeah. I think I met him at lunch that night that we were about to shoot. And, you know, we were all worried, like, is this guy going to bring it? Like, we all love Jeff Morgan, but, like, is he going to be Negan? And I think, you know, within
Okay, you knew he was going to be Negan, but you
we knew he was going to be Negan, but we
how
wanted
Negan
to make
was
sure.
He gonna be?
How, yeah, are you going to be Negan, or are you just going to be, I'm Negan? Like, you know what I mean? are you going to be Negan?
He was Negan.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it was fun, man. I mean, not fun and, this is hilarious, like, everyone's about to die. But just, like, for an actor, like, I didn't have any lines or anything. It's not about, I hear actors from time to time go, I didn't even have any lines. I'm like, it's not about how many lines you have, it's about... you know, connecting within the scene with your fellow actors and to be able to watch someone like Jeffrey Dean Morgan come in and kill it after literally just stepping off a plane and shooting something else, having little time to prepare. I mean, that was fascinating.
Don't take this personally, but when he had Lucille and he was walking in front of each person, like he would walk in front of certain people and I would say, no, 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 no.
Uh-huh.
When he got in front of you, your character, Eugene, I was like, okay.
Oh.
I was.
Yeah. You're willing to let him go.
I was because I didn't want the whole... I'm sorry, you're looking at me like...
No, I mean...
Are we going to fight?
No, I okay. you just wanted Carl to die. What happened to that?
Yeah.
Now it's me?
Well, okay, Carl first always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you. But I'm glad that you didn't. I'm glad.
That's nice to bring
up, Kevin. It's just the internet.
I'm here now having a good time.
Yeah,
and we're
it's just
fun.
The internet right
but
now.
But I'm not...
I'm
the internet. But I'm not happy that Carl's still here. So you're saying he dies Sunday?
Along with everyone else.
Is there anything else that you can tell us? We're out of time, unfortunately. Is there anything you can tell us about this Sunday and next Sunday, the last two episodes of season 7?
I'll tell you that this Sunday, Eugene and Rosita take a little trip.
All right.
In a hot air balloon?
In a hot air balloon, yeah.
To Bone Town.
Up and away. No. Sorry, do we have to pay for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Sunday night.
We're about to take a trip. Hello, Rosita. My name is Eugene Porter.
Yes.
And I was hoping that I could be your bullet.
I like it. That's fine, Kevin. We are out of time.
Right.
All right. We're out of time. Josh, you are terrific on the show, and you have been terrific on this show as well. We thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks,
Walking
guys.
Dead, Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. Come back and see us anytime, sir.
Please. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
Just sounds fishy to me. I'm just saying it sounds like something that somebody's making
just don't,
up.
Just be that.
I'd like to explore that on tomorrow's show is what I'm saying.
We're not exploring.
She's
we're not
a lying
doing.
Liar who lies.
She's
less from you.
Not happening at all forever.
9:42. How fun was Josh, by the way? Josh McDermott from The Walking Dead. How fun was he?
So fun.
He He was fun.
Really nice guy.
He was really nice and really funny.
Great guy. He was
nice.
Really funny.
And love him. He's funny. He's
super nice.
Fun.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
He's very fun.
Seemed nice.
Good.
Funny.
Nice.
Ali did everything she could to derail that interview, but it went forward, didn't it?
What was that landmine you stepped on there in the beginning? Where you brought up some other show or some reference that no one understood?
No one in this room got it.
It was a crash test dummy moment where you just slammed into a wall.
It wasn't great.
It was beyond not great. It was borderline devastating.
We had to restart the car. I mean, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, basically, we had to start from scratch.
Oh, I apologize.
It was Ali the interview killer is what it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that Josh just didn't get up and walk out. It was a lot of fun to have him in. It's 9:42. Rob is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin Abiech Show.
Want to give you some heads up, a little TV viewing, a little program note. Tonight is the kickoff on A&E of that new TV series by Leah Remini called Scientology and the Aftermath. I have no real vested interest in this. I'm not a partner. I don't have any investment. I'm not looking for a dividend.
You're telling that to the Scientologists?
No. Oh, okay. This is just full disclosure why I'm recommending it. I don't know anything about the show other than the topic fascinates me. And she is a woman who knows of which she speaks.
Yes, she is.
She spent a long time in that religion, and she's got a lot of interesting thoughts and takes on it. And so I will be tuning in tonight on A&E to see what she has to say. And also, of course, don't forget Dolly Parton tonight on The Voice. Don't forget that. Dolly will be there.
I will not have you besmirch Dolly Parton.
Listen, I got to get this from the other side when I do Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith. All I hear is freaking Dolly.
What?
He's been to like 3 Dolly Parton concerts in the past 2 months.
She's phenomenal.
His dad was a huge Dolly fan,
Very much so. He grew up hearing her music all the time. And he went to see her in Vancouver while he was working up there shooting Flash, I believe it was. And then caught another show locally here in Los Angeles. And then just took his mom in Florida to see her again. So he's on a tear. And every time I go, even if I just hint, I'm just leaving my lane to get off on the mockery exit
right.
of the freeway,
mm-hmm.
there's hell to pay.
Wow.
So
she's one of America's greatest living songwriters.
Now, you just need to stop, Bean. You just need to pull on the reins.
This is a safe zone for you, Ralph.
I have given you all the leeway I can give regarding Dolly Parton. Don't push it. Don't make me do something I don't want to do.
Do it. It's okay. I'm saying do it.
Anyway, she's on the Voice tonight because, you know, her goddaughter is Kevin. Dolly Parton's goddaughter is...
I got nothing.
Miley Cyrus.
You know this one, Kevin.
Miley Cyrus.
I never knew that. Did I? You thought I knew that?
Well, I mean, it's been in the, you know, a public part of Miley Cyrus's biography for a number of years.
But I'm going to ask the question again.
Her biography.
Did you think that I knew that?
I thought that
was the question.
I thought that's the type of thing you might have heard about because she has become so famous in recent years.
Anyway, they'll be performing
Wrong.
Together. And then Pentatonix
Blech.
Will also be performing.
Blech.
Oh, I hope they do Mary, Did You Know Your Son Was Going to Be Cool Jesus? They
pull that sure they will.
And rock that. Holy crap. Really?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Yeah.
Mary, did you know,
that
your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Yeah.
Did you know
he's cool Jesus?
That your baby boy has come to make you new?
He's making you
his
new.
Child.
You delivered him.
Will soon deliver you.
Now he delivered you.
You know?
F that song. With that little wordplay right there. Oh, you delivered him. Now he's delivering you. Bite it.
Strong. Strong songwriter right there.
Take your five mouths and just
Lister
boom.
Wrote in earlier today.
Take
we were,
five bites.
Ralph was mocking that song. A listener wrote in. Quite honestly, I've despised Christmas music my entire life. I thought about what a big dork a person must be to listen to Christmas music. But now I stand corrected. I must say that it's possible that Mary Did You Know may be my all-time favorite song. I love that song. I teared up with just the little pieces that you guys just played on the radio.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Not sure if I should thank you or hate you, she said. Now she's fully on board with Mary Did You Know.
Please.
Yeah.
So you converted another one. Though.
Yeah, she hates all Christmas music, but this one
this
she
is
heard
the one because,
10 seconds and she loves it.
Because this asked the People magazine interview of the mom of the star. Hey, did you know Justin Bieber was going to be such a big star? No.
I'm just reading what the lady wrote to us. That's all.
Would you like me to pull out the lady's hundreds crazy. Of tweets and emails I got saying thank you for showing the world what a piece of crap that song is?
Oh, that was a question, Bean.
Oh, no, certainly not.
No, the one question
look,
he doesn't
there are a lot of people in the world that are wrong. That we all know that. No, that's your baby boy
who gives sight to a blind man. More importantly, did you know they're going to nail him onto a cross? How about a little heads up there if you knew stuff about what was going to happen to your son? How about a little heads up saying, hey, you know what? Why don't you stay away from Jerusalem, buddy? Don't go the other way because things are going to get dark.
So if she
right?
can see the future.
Right. If you knew so much about what was going to happen to your son,
heads up.
Maybe some warnings. Stay away from Romans with nails. Maybe just a little
voluntary.
Cryptic, just a riddle.
I think Jesus knew that was happening and it was voluntary because it was God's will.
Well, they don't
right, but we're up. Talking about Mary, Bean.
Did you know he'd have superpowers when he was just a baby? Did he fly? F that song, right? Who's with me?
It's now my favorite song. Allie's not happy right now.
You're going to hell.
I'm just happy. Wondering. We don't know much about his childhood.
I know.
When did they kick in? When was he? Did he turn his bottle into
wine?
Listen,
I'm sure Mary was like, listen, I didn't even get to bone to have him. Why are you asking all these questions?
Yeah, Pentatonix, why don't you back off?
Thanks.
I got enough problems without you five barging into my manger, grilling me about what I knew about my kid when he was a baby.
Have to explain this to Joseph?
Do I have to call someone to have you removed, Pentatonix? That's what Mary said during the interview. It did not go well. All right. Let's take a look at Celebrity Birthday, shall we? Just pull the ripcord on this sucker and float gently back to Earth.
This is not the way that we wanted this conversation to go, so I'm going to ask you to leave. Step out, please. We're done. We're finished. Do I need to have somebody physically remove you? Stand up and leave, please. Thank you.
That's what Mary said to Pentatonix.
That's right. Wow. She was not having it.
One more question, Mary. Had an idea. Was it your idea to part his hair in the middle? Or was that just his decision? Did you ever feather it when he was a toddler? Come on with that song. It's ridiculous. The Mary interview song. It's so dumb.
I feel like you need to record your own version.
Remix.
I want that bad.
Like a 25-minute Trapped in the Closet style.
Yep. It's very Trapped in the Closet. It's very Trapped in the Closet-esque. How many more questions are they going to ask Mary?
I guess we'll find out on tomorrow's show.
Mary, did you know that you was going to breastfeed? Or did you pull out a bottle? Did they have formula in Galilee? Was it made of myrrh and gold?
Oh, my gosh, no.
Right?
Vin does not approve. Ugh. And I'm sorry to disappoint the great announcer, Vin Scully, on his birthday. He's 89 years old today. As we look at these stars born on today, November 29th, Howie Mandel, 61, Tom Sizemore's 55, Don Cheadle's 52, Jonathan Knight of New Kids on the Block is 48, Anna Faris, lovely and talented, 40 years old today. Chadwick Boseman, also lovely and talented, Black Panther, boy, he's great. Cannot wait to see him in the next Marvel film. Rawr. He's 40 years old today. The game's 37. Russell Wilson, your Seattle Seahawks QB, is 28.
What was that? Rawr. I didn't even try.
Rawr. Well, he's relaxed. He's chill, man.
Okay.
And Jacques Chirac, former French President Jacques Chirac, who I've heard is just a charming and very forgiving man.
I've heard that
as well.
That's
what I've heard about him. He is 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 tickets are sold out, but @HelpfulHonda on Twitter can still get you on the list. Follow them and find out how. Use the hashtag WinKRock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices because it's Wednesday.
Hell yeah.
Doing that every Wednesday. We've got Brandon Flowers on the program tomorrow.
Brandon, did you know that your band would be so popular on K-Rock?
And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light Backstage Passes tomorrow morning.